A absolutely picture-perfect Wednesday afternoon here in Foxborough, Massachusetts at Gillette Stadium inside the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. I am Paul Perillo, and I am flying solo. That shows you how much the Patriots are on the radar of the rest of this show. The Patriots went down to Miami Monday night and laid the wood to the Dolphins 38-24, and the one guy who gets accused of not being a real fan, not really caring about wins and losses, shows up for the show on Wednesday. Fred Kirsch, nowhere to be found. Andy Hart, nowhere to be found. Eric Scalavino, I mean, does anybody really know what he does anyway when he's here? So, yes, we couldn't even get Kevin, the producer, to show up. We had to have Matt pinch hit, which that's the one thing that works out in your favor as the listener, because there'll be some participation in the show and some effort put into it. So Matt will be here in the broadcast studios as well. You can email us at webradio@patriots.com like you always do. But for right now, all you got is me, so you're going to have to live with it. It's Paul, all the time. That's the way I like it anyway. I came away, Matt, I don't know about you, and I had the opportunity to watch the game with Matt and Kevin and Andy in our first game, first regular season game, not traveling. Quite impressed with the offense. Obviously, how could you not be? I mean, they put up 622 yards of total offense. Brady threw for 517 of those yards. They were high-powered. Yes, Andy Hart, we are flying solo. Glad you could ask. Glad you could make it. Any idea where Fred is?
He's running late, he says.
Oh, that's good. 517 yards by Brady. Hard not to come away extremely impressed with that. Defensively, despite some struggles, there were areas that I was also impressed in, most notably holding Miami to 2-for-14 on third down. I know that was the number one thing, number one element that the coaching staff drilled home to the defense. I just had a chance to talk to Kyle Arrington a little bit for our Comcast television show, Patriots Football Weekly, and he mentioned that that was a point of emphasis, obviously, during the course of the offseason. So to have him have the Patriots go out and go force 2-for-14 on third down was a very positive sign. Now, on the downside of that, the Dolphins did go 4-of-5 on fourth down, which means four of those third down stops that you came up with were eventually converted. So still some work to be done there. But overall, hard not to be impressed with the overall execution level, offensively especially. But overall, for the opening game on a Monday night, down in Miami to play that high-tempo offense, Andy Hart, had to be very impressive.
I'll tell you what's impressive. You used overall three times in one sentence.
Are you in your, do you have your mic on?
Says it's on.
Okay. Can't really hear you.
I'm over here. Can you hear me?
Why are you back there?
Because everybody decided that the show after the opening night win.
He doesn't know how to talk. He just looks like a deer in headlights. He looks like Matt Cassel circa 2008, like week 2, week 3.
It's in the name. You just have that scared look when you're a Matt.
Okay.
I'm going to be running stuff tomorrow, so Kevin's throwing me to the wolves today.
Yeah, you can't be any worse than him. No biggie. I do have some news to report out of the locker room, Paul Perillo.
Okay.
While you're dropping names and chatting with Kyle Arrington, I was chatting with Josh Barrett, who got a little nicked up in the opener. Right hand / wrist is in a cast, and he indicated it's not major, that he's not really worried about it, because I actually said to him, I said, that would kind of suck. You finally start to play, and you get hurt again, and now you won't be able to play. And he's like, nah, that would or something. He shook it off. So,
well, that's good.
Hoping he's going to be
also a fan
able
of the show, which is even better.
He likes Patriots Football Weekly TV, which is nice to have players watching.
And we thank
you. I'll never criticize him again on the show.
Those of you who did watch last week, and there were a lot of you because our numbers were very
strong.
Big
numbers.
So we want to thank you for that. Thursday night, 7:30, Comcast Sportsnet.
Watch again.
Make sure you make DVR that appointment viewing all season long. Coupling on Andy's point, there was some other news, a couple of items. First of all, big surprise, Tom Brady was named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Bit of a reach.
I didn't really see that one coming. I don't think we need to spend much time on that. There were some transactions, however, that probably worth going over here. The Patriots released offensive lineman Thomas Welch, who was promoted on game day from the practice squad.
Who apparently was terrible in special teams action because he didn't get to go back to the practice squad. He got asked to leave the organization.
That is correct. They signed offensive lineman Donald Thomas to replace him. Thomas is a 6'4", 310-pound guard who has played with both Miami and Detroit, and he is also out of UConn, Andy.
If you, UConnian.
I think you remembered. I think you liked him, if I'm not mistaken. But
I'll check my notes.
So he is the replacement right now, obviously, with Dan Copen going down. There needed to be some additions made on the interior line. Dan Conley did a fantastic job filling in, but obviously depth is a concern. Also, Garrett Mills and Jeff Tarpinian were signed to the practice squad. Tarpinian was released to make room for Welch. So those two guys are on the practice squad now to make room for two of those guys. They also released Andy and Paul favorite Aaron Lavarius off the practice
squad. He got hosed.
So nothing major there, but I thought worthy of addressing anyway. Any thoughts there, Andy, with the interior offensive line situation?
No, other than Dan Conley seems very comfortable playing center. I thought that was one of the highlights of the game. I actually mentioned it on our TV show. I forget which game I was watching last year. I want to say maybe Redskins, maybe Bears, some game, and the center went down, and it turned into Jason Veritek catching the knuckleball. It was like they couldn't run plays. They couldn't run their entire offense. They couldn't go gun because their backup center was in the game. Whereas the Patriots' center goes down, Dan Conley slides in. They're in the gun. They're in the spread. They're going no huddle. You know, it's literally hitting the fan, probably the hardest situation he could be in. And, you know, you can't even tell that they made a swap.
Yeah, that was the thing that impressed me the most. It was not just that he went out there, he was able to play. Because, listen, they're all professionals. We expect that. But
they get paid, too, you know.
But they put, I thought, a very interesting game plan together that asked an awful lot of everybody that was on the field offensively.
Especially the fat guys.
In terms of the tempo that they played at and that heat and humidity down there. And it got to them. It affected the offense, too.
Yeah.
They all admitted that. Even the receivers
admitted it. Hot for us, too.
Right. Now, completely wore down Miami and eliminated, I thought, their pass rush because they just didn't have any fresh bodies ever on the field.
Well, that's the thing. It eliminated their substitution. And that's where I fall, actually, on the – I'm not that worried about Ocho Cinco didn't play. He's not up to speed. We knew that. So it's no surprise to me that you wanted your two tight ends involved in the game plan and you want your two best receivers in the game plan who actually can run the offense on the fly, that fast-paced tempo. I think it's kind of obvious that Ocho's going to be the odd man out, right? I mean, he's
yeah,
the guy.
I just would expect that. I don't think that'll be the only time we see that. I think he's an afterthought in the offense.
Oh,
I really do.
I really think very little of him.
No, it's the opposite. I think he's working his butt off, and it's not clicking. I think there's a reason they decided he didn't know the offense.
But you don't give him any credit for the fact that it's a month.
Yeah, but I mean, he's only going to have 4 months.
Right.
But that's as long as the season is.
4 months is a lot longer than a month.
Already. I don't think they have time to sit there and hold his hand anymore. And I don't think it's going to happen.
Then they shouldn't have traded for him. They shouldn't have made moves in the lockout.
I don't think you know that it's not going to work before you make a move like that.
I think you have to assume a guy's going to take a while to learn this offense. It's not easy. I think you fall on the side of most guys will take time. The rare guys will learn it at the snap of a finger.
Yeah.
I think it was a bad move then. I think it was a terrible trade.
Well, I'm not ready.
If you don't have time to continue to try to develop him, if he's now on the outside looking in,
well,
he's redshirting.
I mean,
that was a $4.5 million draft pick mistake.
Jabbar Gaffney did come into the offense in the middle of the season and was immediately up to speed.
Great for Jabbar Gaffney.
Danny Woodhead came into the offense immediately and was immediately
up to speed. I think if you assume that is the norm, that is a mismanagement of the team.
No, but I mean, you have to assume that that's the norm. And I don't want to branch this off because you and I have had a lot of talks about this, and I think they're actually interesting talks about Ocho. I don't want to branch this show into another Ocho Cinco.
Well, it
debate.
Is kind of a major topic that
know,
is leading SportsCenter.
But there's a lot, and that's exactly the reason why I don't want to do it, because that tells me that it's nothing but an over-sensationalized non-story.
Well, part of it
because,
is their guy was sensationalizing.
Right. If SportsCenter thinks it's important, to me, it's old news in the market that it's happening. Mm. But my point with this is I think there can be an in-between with it's a terrible move, and he's not quite ready to go yet. I mean, I don't think.
But you said they don't have time to hold his hand. They're moving
on.
But
I don't think they knew.
I think he still needs his hand held.
I don't think they knew that they weren't going to be able to use him in a game plan like Monday night when they traded for him.
See, then to me, that's mismanagement. If you think a guy who's played in the same city for a decade is going to come in and pick up what everybody, even Deion Branch, said when he came back, this is a difficult offense to learn. This isn't just, oh, I played in a couple and I've been there before. Oh, I roll out of bed, I'm in it. This is a hard offense. There are so many reads that, and that's the laughable thing to me. Everybody, he should get in his playbook. it's not the playbook. It's being on the field against a defense and seeing a corner where he is. Is he shaded inside, outside? Is he pressed? Is he off? And all the various things you're doing in that. So the playbook argument to me, get off Twitter and get in your playbook, is ignorant.
Like I said, and I've been maintaining this all along, if I thought that was the problem, it would be very easy.
No, I know, but you just are ready to move on.
No. Listen, I think that he can still be part of the team, part of the offense. I don't think he's – I think more weeks than not, they're going to rely on the two receivers that they know about and the two tight ends that they know about. I mean,
well,
right now, he's the fifth option.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to stay the fifth option for the foreseeable future.
See, I think he was traded to be the fifth option. I think the tight ends are the heart of this offense moving forward forever, for the foreseeable future, as Bill Belichick would like to say.
I think that they
and
traded
the other
him,
two.
I think they traded for him for Deion Branch insurance.
If
something were to happen to Branch, if he was slowing down, if maybe he wasn't completely healthy, he's had a lot of injury.
Well, then they're getting what they want out of him.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it was a disaster they traded for him. I don't think because he's not going to catch 70 balls means they shouldn't have traded for him if they didn't know he was going to, you know, take this long. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's all or nothing. I don't think he has to be a top option to make it a good trade. I think the trade
is fine.
Not
going to be an option. He's Julian Edelman.
I don't
if
think
somebody gets hurt, he'll have to play.
That's, I don't think. Yeah, I do. I don't think that's the only reason they traded
for
him.
Then.
But I don't think it's a disaster that they traded for him. I think it was fine.
I don't care for it.
I think they wanted some depth there and they wanted some options. Yeah,
I
do.
I don't care for the move then.
Yeah, but I don't just flip flop it the other way and say, "Wow, that was a terrible trade." And
well, the terrible trade
worked.
Part
there
to
was,
me
I
is
mean, there was upside.
You
there.
Said they don't have time to hold his hand anymore.
Now,
to me, that
now,
makes it a terrible.
Don't
trade.
Don't you think that it's hard to sit there and wait for him at this point? You got to have a game plan every
then
week.
Then you should not have traded for him. That's my opinion. Because I think you have to assume it's going to take him significant time to learn the offense. That's my feeling.
But is it safe? Listen, we don't know exactly where he is in his development, but.
Bill says today, quote, he knows what we're doing.
But would it be safe to assume that he would be further along than he is?
I don't know. I've never spoken with Chad Ochocinco
about
football.
But I'm asking your opinion.
I don't know.
Because you're saying it was a dumb trade because
I really don't know.
They should have known that he wouldn't be ready. Well,
no,
should they have
I
known that he would
norm,
be at the point that he is now?
The norm
is that he
is won't be ready. That
but won't
is my
be
belief.
Ready. Is there, isn't there like some sort of stages of not being ready?
So you don't think he could run a single play? Because I think he has the bulk of the offense
No,
down.
I think that they had a hurry-up game plan the other night, and they didn't feel comfortable with him on the field. And the first play that he was on the field, he lined up incorrectly.
Right. Yeah, I still have my issues with some of those calls, too. But
well, that call was as black and white as
I don't
you
think
get.
They call that black and white ever in the league.
But I think that particular call was not a gray area. He was on the line. He actually said he didn't know it was not supposed to be.
Okay.
But
that's
neither here nor there. I think he might have tweeted it out or something like that. But anyway, I don't really necessarily want to. And I think that I think it's a relevant argument. And I think we legitimately are on opposite sides of it.
Oh, yeah.
But
you hate him. I like him.
No, I don't hate him. I really like the guy a lot. I really enjoy talking to him, actually. I wish I
are
had a chance to
fake?
Do it a little bit more. I would guess.
Did he ever have gold teeth?
Yeah.
So now he has, like, veneers or whatever?
Probably.
They're really white.
But without him, that was a pretty impressive performance anyway.
Yeah. I mean, 608 yards without him. 622 with him.
I see what you did. I got you.
They wouldn't have got over 620 yards of offense without him.
You know, and safe to say that exactly zero of those yards were created by his presence on the field. You know, the whole Randy Moss argument of him opening things up for people.
Oh, well,
zero.
Yeah, and
first of all, he wasn't on the field that many plays.
I don't know who was. That was a dumb argument. I mean, any sentence that involved Ochocinco and Randy Moss, unless it was saying "Don't expect Ochocinco to be Randy Moss," is a bad sentence.
So send us your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Again, that's webradio@patriots.com. You can hit us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. And Andy and I would love to take your phone calls.
I'll tell you whose hand we don't have a time to hold. That's Fred's.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in the midst of a season here. It's Wednesday.
Well, you missed my beautiful open.
Beautiful.
Where I ripped you guys all to shreds.
Me?
I'm the one who's considered to be the guy who's not a fan.
Me?
I don't care about the team. I don't care about anything anymore.
True.
Wins
true.
And losses. Who cares?
Oh, you care about
care.
Wins and losses.
It doesn't matter to me. But they won on Monday night in Miami. The first show that we do coming out of that, we have no Fred. no Andy, and as I put it then, no one really knows what Eric does anyway.
So the show was probably opening with you telling how the Dolphins should have won the game, because you're everything but Patriots Paul
Perillo. Oh, no, that should have been a 28-point win, I think.
Right.
I think it was closer to a 28-point win than
should have been the comfortable win that I projected, and yet it didn't end up. It bogged down.
No, but unfortunately for you, the game actually, Matt, unfolded pretty much the way I said it was going to.
Because you're negative.
It was going to be reasonably tight in the
third quarter. Talks about, he said that game should have been a 28-point game, and yet he's saying he was right that it bogged down.
But
I'm the one who says I'm always right.
I'll tell you what I expected that didn't happen is I expected the Patriots defense to play better than it did.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the Miami offense would make mistakes. It didn't.
Well, I expected the Patriots defense to force mistakes.
Right.
And they didn't.
And they didn't. They didn't come
half
close.
The playmakers
really.
On the
one,
team
really one play.
Disappeared for long portions of the game or got picked on like Devin McCourty.
Right. McCourty in the end zone on the quick shot to
the pass defense
Brandon
for
Marshall.
Patrick Chung.
That was the one.
Forced fumble.
But did they have another real opportunity? I mean, they deflected to make plays.
Every play is an opportunity to make
you
plays if you're
saying.
A playmaking defense.
You know what I'm saying.
I would like to have
it's
said Sean
like
Ellis'
Henny.
Name. I would like to have said Gerard Mayo's name. I would like to have said Andre Carter's name.
Anybody else?
Those are the guys I really count on. Albert Haynesworth, Vince Wilfork. I'd like to have said their name. You know, I predicted them to be bitch-slapping a rookie center. I didn't see that too often.
Yeah, I thought they were okay.
They were fine.
I thought they were okay.
I thought they were going to whoop his
dominated.
Ass.
And
He's
I do
a bad
think,
rookie center.
I thought there would be more pressure on the passer. You know, especially, you know, you think that you're going to see that the first play of the game, Ninkovich comes in untouched off the edge on a blitz.
We should have known at that point. Literally unblocked, and they still have the time to throw a deep ball. That's the problem. We should have known at that point, this is going to be the Dolphins' night, not the Patriots.
I mean, I see what you're saying, but...
The Dolphins' night?
No, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I do. When they score, when they have 417 yards, yeah.
Well,
that's their night.
The problem
they're not
is
that
Andy,
good.
Andy thought that
they're not a very good football team.
Andy thought they played a Division III Canadian college on Monday. He didn't think they played an NFL team. He made that apparent if you listen to the pregame social. What?
This guy.
I said
luckily,
that they were
no
going to score
did.
17 points, and you laughed at me. You laughed at me
I
for suggesting 17.
I got on that when the caller came in. I was just backing him up.
And then you predicted
I picked the score of 34-17, numbnuts, before we did the show. But I thought that was a good storyline when the guy called in and I thought that was a good little energy.
I just would like to give the listeners my honest opinions.
I do. 34-17.
I don't fabricate them for, you know.
I don't fabricate anything.
To coincide with what, you know, the listeners are actually saying. If I agree with them,
I
say.
I agree with the
if
listeners.
I disagree with
generally.
Them, I say.
I don't think they're stupid like you do.
Well, yet you do. You just don't have the fortitude to admit it.
I think they're stupid.
Yeah, you do.
I just don't like to interact with them in a person.
Well, you hate to
experience.
Interact with them because they're not up to your intellectual level.
Well, be that as it may.
No denial there.
Do we have any emails?
No.
We don't have any emails?
Unless the system is down because we don't have our normal equipment up and running here, and I don't know exactly what's going on, but no. Do you have any emails?
Nope. That should be the same as the normal computer.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right, the empire's over. Let's call it a day.
I think that Fred Kirsch is not here, and people are saying, I don't want to email those two idiots. Although we get thousands of emails for the pregame social. I don't know where everybody went, but... Other impressions of the Monday night opener before we, I don't want to get on to San Diego yet because this is our first show.
But it's our second to last show.
No, I know, but it's, but we haven't had a chance to talk about Miami yet.
It's a Monday night week, so Wednesday is Tuesday and Tuesday is Wednesday.
Beyond the obvious, you know, the injury to Copen, the yards that you mentioned, Henny, you know, Henny looked good. Anyway, in a lot of ways, I thought the game came down to the quarterbacks.
Sure.
You know, Henny played very well.
All it does in the NFL.
Henny played very well, but he missed a couple of throws. Brady didn't miss any throws. And that ultimately was the difference. It was a fine line. I didn't think it would be that close of a difference. I didn't think the difference in this game would be quarterbacks.
Well, because the defense didn't live up to its billing.
And now, are you long-term concerned, or is it a work in progress and you buy that mentality?
A work in progress with some concern.
How much do you think?
Because I like the matchup. The matchup is not always, in my opinion, going to favor the Patriots against that offense with a bad quarterback and a bad offensive line every week. That's a matchup you should win.
I wanted to get your impression. A lot of the analysis I've read and heard so far, people are throwing terms in, you know, well, a lot of that was late in the game when it didn't matter.
When did it not matter?
They were
trying to win a football game.
That's how I feel.
And it wasn't 72-2.
To me, there was only one drive that was meaningless, and that was the very last one of the night. Beyond that, you can say that, well, they had a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter. Well, they let them go right down the field and score a touchdown. Then they forced a punt and let them go right down the field, get to the one-yard line again, and had a touchdown overturned by replay. If not for that new rule, you may have been in a 7-point game and had to, you know, come up with some first downs. So I don't really think there was a lot of plastic yardage in that game at all. The only thing I will say is Chad Henne scrambled very effectively in that fourth quarter. I think he ended up with 7 carries for 59 yards. He was actually their leading rusher, Andy. 6 carries for 50 yards. He had the quarterback draw for 9-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. That was a designed run. 6 carries for 50 yards. I could sort of look at that and say, well, you're in a nickel and dime defense. You're backed way off. And if the quarterback who's not known as a runner wants to run, I guess you'll take that.
Yes, every day.
So that, I will say, there was some plastic yardage there. But I thought there were too many open receivers, especially if you noticed early in those drives, I thought there were some open receivers that made some good yardage after the catch. They had held Devon Best pretty much in check for most of the night. In the fourth quarter, they were nowhere near him. I don't really understand what happened with that. And it's nice to be joined, finally, by Fred Kirsch, who apparently
wasn't ready for the regular season.
You know,
or to put on headset.
Season opening wins were obviously much more important to Andy Hart and Paul Perillo.
Sorry about that. Should we start the show over and do it right?
Yes. No, but can I start eating some pizza now?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Where have you been?
Duty called, and I had
You were going to the bathroom?
No, I had a DUTY, not the other one. And I had got waylaid in the West Wing.
Can I stop you for a second? What is how
and
is
you
the
can't
other
say Jaworski.
How is the other one spelled? DUTY. I mean,
DOODY.
Duty?
Okay.
Isn't it?
That's
isn't that Andy's duty?
Howdy duty?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's not.
I don't know. We don't really need to break down.
I'm not sure.
Duty.
What the hell's going on with this? Is this computer dead?
The computer's dead.
I have to move over?
Yep. Oh boy.
So hold on. I'm going to move over.
And I'll just talk about what I saw in the game. And that was a lot of suspect plays on defense. I'm concerned about the defense, Fred. And when you get over here, you can tell me why not to be. But I'll say it again. There's a lot of guys. Even Greg Bedard jumped on my bandwagon. Gerard Mayo, Defensive Player of the Year. Well, all I recall from Gerard Mayo, he had one pressure, and he was chasing Reggie Bush running across the field, trailing him like Terrell Buckley would. And I was just a little disappointed in the playmakers on defense. The guy I'm most disappointed in, though, and most concerned with is Devin McCourty. I have my concerns about Devin McCourty for this season. I really do.
Based on one game?
No, the preseason, where everybody threw at him and completed passes on him. And the first game where they threw at him and completed passes on him. And Brandon Marshall kind of had some fun with him. You're not concerned about that at all? Because
no.
I had him penciled in as next stop Revisville, next stop Asamoahville, next stop Troop All-Pro Cornerville.
I'll tell you what, you switch quarterbacks the other night and the other team wins. And I didn't think that was going to be. I thought the Patriots were so far dominant over Miami. I didn't think that there was going to be as close, not necessarily in terms of the score of the game, but I thought a couple of plays here or there in that game could have been different.
Like the fade?
Well,
where the guy never had a chance to make it.
That was ridiculous, but even before that, you know, the Dolphins' defense had some key third downs, and they just never came up with a play. Never, not mm-hmm. once. Brady was impeccable. Absolutely impeccable. Absolutely. That's why you're a great team.
But you also can't say that's why he's Chad Henne.
Chad Henne played a great game.
Okay.
He probably played over his head. But I'm saying if you switch quarterbacks, I think Brady is impeccable for Miami and they win.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point. I don't think that the rest of the talent, you know, was overshadowed on New England's end. Now, offensively, just an unbelievably dominant performance.
Right.
Unbelievably dominant.
But, no offense, I'm with Bill. That's what I expect. I like the tight ends.
I did, too.
I did what I expected him to.
I didn't expect 622 yards.
The yardage is irrelevant.
But I did expect 38 points.
They win the game.
I was not surprised by that.
They win the game because of offense. That's what they are. I didn't think they would have to be that this year because I have hopes for the defense. Fred's distracting me because I can see him moving.
No, sorry. Keep talking.
No, I can see your screen on my screen. So.
Okay.
I'm distracted easily. Were you disappointed that the two beasts in the middle weren't more dominant going against a suspect offensive line and a rookie center in Pouncey?
Well, I think that, you know, they were passing a lot. you know, I think when the Dolphins ran.
Whoa, the reason we brought Haynesworth here was to fix the pass rush problems.
Listen to me. Are you going to let me finish? You going to let me finish?
Is that not how it was sold to
us? Paul's eating pizza. I think that.
No, he just tunes out.
I think that Dolphins couldn't run. I was impressed with Haynesworth in the middle against the run. I think he did what I'd expect him to do.
They don't have a running game.
I think he did what I'd expect him to do after, a short preseason and having not played, a lot last year. I think he looked pretty good against the pass. I think the pressure was a little late most of the night, but it was getting there. It was forcing Henny in a couple of times to throw up passes. He didn't want to throw a couple ducks that landed harmlessly to the ground.
I mean, poop, you got to throw it quicker, Chad.
Yeah,
Jaws said.
You know, I think that,
I mean,
that
he threw the ball 50 times.
Yeah, that whole pass rush thing is going to get better. I think we saw Haynesworth definitely pushing the middle. I wasn't worried about that overall, though, defensively.
But the opposition will get better, too. That was not, by any means, the best offensive line you'll face this year.
No, but those are pretty good receivers, and Fasano's not a bad tight end. So as far as the weapons that Henny had, I think, they're not the best tandem in the league, but I think that it's pretty good weapons that he has.
No, but the weapons are fine. I'm talking about the matchups.
It might be one of the five worst offensive lines you're going to see. It might be one of the five worst offensive lines.
Well, Carey's not bad.
He's terrible.
He's not bad.
He's terrible.
He's rated pretty well.
Do you ever read any Miami newspapers?
Richie Cognito doesn't like
him. He's terrible.
Yeah.
He sucks.
They have one good offensive lineman. And they have a rookie who the book's not run out on yet.
Oh, Pouncey, right.
Initial impressions, not very good, I'll tell you that. They have Jake Long, and they have four stiffs.
So, I think, but getting back to what you said before, what worries me is, are we surprised that, Tom Brady threw for 517? Well, maybe not, but I'm surprised he had to. And that's what we talked about before. We didn't think that. Except for that 99-yard pass play to Welker, the yardage over the air was about the same for both teams, except for that one play. That's what kind of bothers me, and I don't pin it all on the pressure. I think it's all around. I think, we talk about the back end of the defense and the front of the defense, but are we looking enough at the middle of that defense? And I'm talking about the linebackers. Gerard Mayo, he had five tackles. I know the secondary had most of the tackles.
Non-factor.
Because they had to. He really wasn't what we thought he might be.
About as far from defensive player of the year as you could get.
Yeah, but it might have been just that first game. We can't jump to conclusions, but
right.
We have to look at that linebacker situation as much as the front four.
Well, if that's
the
most
the
important
four.
Unit, I don't feel good. Because Mayo I expect to be great. Middle linebacker, if it's Fletcher, I mean, are you going to expect him to be one of your key playmakers? He was a defensive end year ago, and now he's your middle linebacker. And Rob Ninkovich is who he is. Yep. I thought it was telling.
Let's go.
Right.
First play of the game, he comes off unblocked, gets a hit on him, but they still have time to throw the ball, whatever it was, 20 yards downfield for a completion.
So I was thinking about that going ahead to San Diego. Now, I think it's...
Which is a game where we would expect you might have to throw for 500 to win.
And I don't think there's much of an argument that San Diego's a better offensive team, right?
Better quarterback,
better weapons,
better running backs, everything.
Now, except for Brandon Marshall, they're bigger. They have more experience. So this is a game where, you say to yourself, probably you're going to be playing in sub-packages a lot of the game. Because Ryan Matthews, he may be good, but I don't think it's their running game that's going to win this game for San Diego. It's going to be their passing game. So you're going to be in sub-packages a lot, which puts a lot of pressure, I think, on the linebackers to take care of the middle of that field. They've got to make some plays on passing downs. It can't be all, the safeties and the cornerbacks. It's got to be some breakups by the linebackers. That's what I worry about, is the middle of the field. Patriots historically have had trouble with it. Most teams do when they're faced with teams that have a lot of weapons. But, we're close to the Patriots. We see it. If those linebackers aren't ready to make plays on passing downs or whenever they're spreading the field, then I think the Patriots are in for a long day on defense. So
we haven't even talked about the fact that Brandon Spikes was a healthy scratch.
Right.
Which isn't good. I mean, he's
not
going to be making
those. A healthy scratch. We don't know. I mean, he might.
All I can go by is the injury report.
Right.
He wasn't on it.
Yeah.
So he's healthy, right?
He might have had full participation in practice and been in for the game, but not on the on the report, but maybe, you know, even then he was 80% and they figured Fletcher, the way he was better than...
If injury plays into your decision at all, by the letter of the law, he should be on the injury report.
Well, okay. Okay, so let's talk reality.
Bill's not
gonna,
a healthy scratch.
Bill's
that's
not
going
to talk about injuries, so I have to use the injury report. The injury about to be up 4 o'clock.
I mean, there's 17...
That's my evidence.
There's 17 guys listed on the injury report, including two that were added on Saturday for an illness and I forget what Pryor's was.
Groin.
Full participation in practice throughout the week. They added these guys. I find it awfully hard to believe that the one guy who was hurt, that they were trying to hide the fact was hurt, was Brandon Spikes.
No, I don't think they were trying to hide it. I just think that maybe they thought at the level he's at right now and he's been practicing at, we'd rather have Fletcher in there. Anyway, so that's all on the table. Did you guys bring up the whole Teddy Bruschi on EEI with Chad Ochocinco yet?
We talked about Ocho. We didn't really talk about Bruschi's pointed comments, though, no.
So I think we should throw that on the table, too, before we go to a break, and we have a couple phone calls lined up. But Teddy Bruschi was on EEI yesterday and really had a pointed criticism of Ochocinco. Ocho tweeted out that he was in awe of the offense, and Bruschi's point is he should not be in awe. If he understood this offense and was a part of it, he wouldn't be in awe because he'd understand it. And if you understand something, you're not awestruck. So we might even have that sound. I don't know. Matt's back there. He's shaking his head. No. But
sorry, guys. First time doing this.
Hey, look at that. He learned how to talk back.
But I think it was really interesting. Tom Brady addressed it a little bit this morning, and I think Tom kind of defended his teammate a little bit, saying, look, he's doing everything. He knows the playbook. And
as
those,
did Bill Belichick.
Those of us who are in the locker room know that, sort of a saying to Teddy, you're not here anymore.
Very similar to the way Gerard Mayo said, was that last year or 2 years ago?
I think it was last year.
When Teddy had some comments, and Gerard said, I respect Teddy Bruschi a lot, but he's not here. He's not here now with us.
Right.
I think it may have been 2 years ago on the 4th-and-2 game. Bruschi said that was a sign of disrespect to the defense.
Right.
But he was very outspoken about
but
that.
But the question is to our listeners is, do you agree with Teddy or do you agree or...
With Paul.
No, or do you agree that was a little over the top in that criticism? So
you're on the Bruschi end of that. You think it's...
I don't have any
Ochocinco is out of line. He needs to get in line with the offense.
No, I had no problem whatsoever with him saying that I'm in awe of this offense. I have not even an ounce of problem with that.
I think he's not in the offense.
I think he's behind. Yes, that's all. But I think that when you criticize what somebody says and you break down the actual word and you go with the semantics of maybe you wouldn't be in awe, like from a guy who just tweeted something out, a guy who's tweeted. What, 50,000 times in his life? You think he sits there and selects every word as carefully as he possibly could?
Words have meaning, Paul.
I understand that, but it's Twitter has no meaning whatsoever.
That's true.
And he was just having fun. I don't have a problem with what Ocho. I couldn't be further away from Bruschi on that.
All right. We got John and Palm Bay lined up, and he'll be first up on the Ace Ticket Hotline after this break.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries, or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
PFW in progress. 508-298-0398. Or web radio at patriots.com.
Back here in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios, Gillette Stadium. Andy Hart filling in for Fred Kirsch, who's filling in his mouth with pizza right now and was not ready to start the show, was not ready to come back from break.
I'll tell you, I don't get here at right at noon one day, and the whole show goes to hell.
We've told you that you're the straw that stirs the drink.
Something's wrong with the email, folks.
But this one doesn't have anything to do with the personnel.
Okay, so
like
I have,
it usually does.
I have some legitimate filler. Which is actually
well, we have to get to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
1 second. Yeah. You tell us to observe anytime something's going on around the stadium and inform fans. Very interested today when we were shooting our PFW in Progress TV show. No, not PFW in Progress, just PFW. They were doing some testing on the field turf. I assume they were representatives of field turf or whatever the company that put it in, but they had all these gadgets. They were sticking things in, getting digital readings as they stuck it in. I'm assuming checking the pressure and the density of the black things.
Right.
And they were walked every single seam, the entire field, took notes on everything they did. They had another thing that looked like one of those old bicycle pumps, but I think it was attached to a weight inside the cylinder that then went to a digital screen. It was very, very interesting, Fred, because I've never thought about that. I always assumed they just put the field down and you had a field and you moved on, but that was very interesting, all that testing going on out there. Make sure the field was ready for the opener.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's going to be a lot of up and down the field as the Chargers and Pats get together. Could be over 1,000 yards of total offense.
Good observation, Andy. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline now at 508-298-0398. John in Palm Bay is on the line. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Hey, I got two quick questions, and I'll let you guys answer them. First question is, do you think the Patriots might look at Damian Woody to sign him?
Nope.
And the second question is, what do you think about the comments from Eric Mangini on ESPN about the Spygate incident?
Those were interesting.
Thank you, John. That's good questions. Damian Woody,
I agree.
Andy says no.
No, Woody retired mostly for health reasons anyway.
Yeah, I think he's getting up there. Now, I'm glad you brought that up because that broke on, what was that, Pro Football Talk? Where did he say those comments?
On EEI, I thought.
Was it on EEI? Mangini said them?
I thought so.
No? Or was it on ESPN? I don't know. Anyway, basically, if you hadn't heard, Mangini said that he never intended for the whole Spygate thing to end up the way it did. And that he is sorry for that. And he really, you know, appreciates everything that Bill Belichick and the Patriots did for him early in his career. And, you know, that was not his intention to, you know, get the Patriots in trouble to that length.
I believe him 100%.
I do too. I do too. However, you know, I would say that even before that, I think Bill was upset with Eric Mangini.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when he went to the Jets and suddenly, and, you know, the whole thing with locking him out of the stadium and
poaching coaches and,
right,
and
right,
reportedly going after Deion Branch and making it aware,
right,
that Deion Branch had an option.
So he leaves all that part out.
Right.
So, you know,
but this was the worst part. I mean, this was in public.
Right.
This was,
but the
million
one he
dollars
had the least control
draft
over.
Yeah.
You know, for example.
But if you don't start that ball rolling, it doesn't snowball.
No.
But
no,
wait. Well,
every snowball starts with a little handmade snowball. He made the snowball before it started getting bigger.
What was the topic? What were they talking about?
Spygate.
So why would he talk about me poaching coaches or anything like that?
No, no. What I'm saying is he apologized for that. But what I said is, the problem that this organization had with Eric Mangini started before that.
Right,
no,
but he wasn't asked about it.
I understand that, but he wasn't asked. I mean, that's,
no,
you know.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, that's not the only
it, so
thing.
Even,
in terms of this organization, that's not the only thing that needs,
right,
to be forgiven.
Right. And I actually think they believe him that he didn't plan, or he may not even be the one that called the cops on him.
Oh,
yeah,
I guarantee that he did not intend it to act in,
no,
that
I
way.
Know that, but if he starts it, your actions have consequences.
Sure.
I don't even believe that he is the one who called them out on it. I believe Tannenbaum was more involved than he was. I'm sure he told Tannenbaum about it backroom, made it aware to Tannenbaum, but bringing it public, getting the league involved, I think was Tannenbaum.
Yeah, I blame the Patriots 100% for that, not the people who called him out. Now, I blame Mangini 100% for Fred's other thing, because I do think that is, you know, whether it's code or unethical or you know, a violation of some sort of unwritten rules, I agree with that. I don't think if you're a coach and you move on to a head coach or another organization, I think it should go without saying that you shouldn't, especially the coaching staff. You know, if there are free agents available or whatever, okay, I guess there's an extreme circumstance that you can make an argument. I don't even think in that case. But I think that it's wrong to go at, you know, you know how that works, Andy. You're in coaches' meetings with the assistant coaches. You're like, you know, someday, you know, we'll get a job. You know, I'll hire you as my, I'm going to get a job someday. I'm going to hire you as my offensive coordinator. That's not right. That's not cool that you do stuff like that behind the scenes. Poaching coaches to me crosses the line. I do think that he's wrong in doing that.
But it's kind of how it works. Everybody takes coaches with them.
I don't like it.
It's kind of, I mean, it's the way everybody hires their guys. I mean, that's
what
they're looking for.
Okay, but give me another example like that, you know, where it wasn't a coaching staff that got fired and now they were all available, where it was an existing coaching staff, someone from that staff gets a head coach, and then he starts taking players, other coaches from that
team.
Yeah,
I think it's a little different.
It's a little different.
When a head coach goes to another place and takes his staff with him, I think is different than an assistant going to a head coaching job,
I guess,
and taking the previously existing assistants.
Yeah.
You know, Belichick has done that. Belichick has taken his staff with him.
Oh, yeah.
From the Jets.
And the whole thing.
And Parcells has done it several times.
And just the story that got out of how the Patriots locked him out, well, that obviously came from his side of the,
right,
of, you know, and that was probably because we had already told him we're upset with you, and he wanted to get a little thing in the press to make people, you know, to put the Patriots in a bad light. And that wasn't even called. If I got news, Andy, that you were, I don't know, going to Comcast and it was, you know, imminent, I would say,
I don't know, Dighton Rehoboth High School.
Yeah. But they're not, I would walk you out. I would say good luck. And I'd walk you out the door that day.
Right.
You know? And that's the way it is. Your badge would be shut off.
You don't know that Mangini put that story out there.
I don't know why the Patriots would put that out there.
No, I didn't say it came from the Patriots side. It may have come from Mangini's side, but from a person working closely with him.
Right, but he complained. He complained to somebody that, oh, the Patriots locked me out. So he's bitching about that to somebody.
Not necessarily.
Okay, well,
if you had a
sound like to
you
me he was
with,
bitching.
He
he I'd could tell a person, it. I showed up would. And my ID I didn't would. Work. And then that person could tell somebody, right?
Right.
Don't you tell your wife or or close friends things that you don't necessarily right. want out there, but you tell them.
But why was he surprised that his ID didn't work?
I don't know. He was naive, maybe.
But wasn't he... it's hard to talk in definitives about something that you don't know, because we don't know. Your analogy that you made with Andy, I think, is 100% accurate. But presumably, if Andy got another job and he was leaving, you would allow him to get his belongings and take his things away, and you'd walk him to the door, you'd shake his hand, thank him, and he'd be on his way.
Right.
And now his badge doesn't work the next time he comes
in. No,
but what
if I found out it was like Sunday, and I found out he was doing it Monday? I'd give him a call Sunday night and say, you know, don't come in Monday. And in the meantime, I've shut off his badge. So if he didn't get my call, he shows up Monday morning. His badge
doesn't
work.
But they certainly were aware.
It's because I found out that he was about to take a job with a competitor.
Happened. But that's not what happened.
Not just a competitor.
No,
the Jets.
They found out he was about to go to the Jets.
Mostly because he told him he was interviewing there.
Okay, well, fine. You're no longer here. I don't think that's a surprise. If you're about to go to our AFC East competitor, so you can't get back in the building.
Why?
So I got a question
because
for you.
Because there's stuff in here. Look, we
that belongs to him.
That belongs to us too.
I didn't say you should let him take your stuff.
No, look, I'm not.
God forbid he do what Parcells did and take the Patriots
Paul,
playbook to the Giants.
Of course he was able to get his stuff in due time.
But I think
he wasn't able to come back in the building unescorted.
If I recall, that's what he was upset about.
Well, he got it. What he was upset about is he couldn't just walk in the building and get his stuff.
Yeah,
no,
see,
you need an escort
yeah,
now.
See, I don't agree with that. I do.
Can I ask a question?
Well, I'm about to swear like Ron Jaworski.
Grow up. How many times are you going to use that line today?
Grow up. There's intellectual property in here. I'm not going to let a guy. I'm not going to let a guy who I know is about to become the head coach of my biggest rival to just walk in unescorted into my building. Uh-huh. It's not going to happen.
That's
and
fine.
You wouldn't either.
I would. I'm telling you flat out, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But
well,
that's fine. I don't think you're wrong for having a problem.
Hopefully, if you're the CEO,
the
people that
you.
Work for you would say, Paul, we can't do that.
First
Chief
of all,
eating officer.
Let's forget about the possibility of me being in charge of anything.
Hi, Die Hard Dogs was your idea.
Yeah.
It's now defunct.
Talk about getting intellectual property stolen from you.
Okay, can I ask a question, though? Would he have been allowed back in had he not been given the Jets job?
Afterwards?
Yeah.
They probably would have fired him. Somehow, something didn't go right. Because
wait a minute.
Josh McDaniels got a job with the Broncos, and
Bill
that was
told
fine.
Him he could.
And that
he
was
told
fine.
Mangini he shouldn't.
But Josh didn't poach the coaching staff.
No, I'm talking before this.
Yeah.
They didn't want him to interview with the Jets. There's no doubt in my mind with that. They didn't want that as a consideration. They didn't think whether you believe them that he wasn't ready, that he hadn't been a coordinator long enough, not ready, or it was the Jets and
or,
you can't
yeah,
go to the
or
Jets.
Or go get a job with another team.
But they didn't
you know?
Want him to be
right.
a head coach at that point. By they, I mean Bill.
Well maybe not a head
that's
coach
the part
of that
I say
team.
Grow up.
Of that team, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
if that's what it was all about,
I agree
I
with
say,
you, Fred. I don't think he was going to be let back in as head coach of the Jets or as unemployed
or Paul, it
guy who interviewed.
Fine, go take the job, but from the moment you say you're going for it, you're not here. You know?
Well, yeah, that's obvious. I have no problem with that. Once you're employed by another team.
That's not even an employee. If you tell me that you're going for the Jets job.
Interview or take?
Interview.
Okay, that's I'm a little different.
You know, if you tell me you're
so
going,
so you think he got fired for interviewing for another job?
I don't know that he got fired. I'm not sure he would have been welcomed
no,
back.
No, obviously he didn't get fired.
Right.
And he went took another job, but
yeah, I'm not sure he would have been welcomed back. First of all, I don't think they thought all that highly. I mean, I remember the comments from that year and talking to Brewski and some of these guys. I didn't get the impression that they loved him as the defensive coordinator, that were in love with what he was doing. And then he becomes
you might
a head
be right.
coach.
You might be right.
It
Who
could
knows?
Be. All right.
I'm certainly no huge Mangini fan.
Dagmar has been
coaching.
Holding on patiently on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Dagmar, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Fred, Andy, and Paul. How's it going?
Now, great. Dagmar, you've been calling the postgame show with Adam Jones, too.
Cheater.
Yeah. I call everybody.
Oh, so you're a talk show whore, huh? A talk show whore. Now I know.
I call the playbook, I call even the Pete Shepard, I call everybody. I gotta keep in contact with everybody.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you got for us today?
Hey, I got a little inside reporter from the game on Monday, because I attended to the game. That's why I couldn't call the pregame show.
Yeah, we missed you.
I got a little late there, but I got to take a couple of pictures of a flyover of the B2 on during the game and even after the game of some of the Patriot players.
Nice.
When they were on their way to the buses and all that. I mean, what an experience to have, attend to my first NFL game. It was really very, very, very nice.
Yeah, you saw something no one else had ever seen.
The Patriots won, man. From the stands, I mean, I was all the way to the top. But, I mean, I don't know if it happens. I guess it happens in every single stadium that some of the local fans get to complain. You know how you have that option that you can text to a number?
Yes.
And complain about...
Yep, we have that here for to security.
He's not, behaving correctly.
Right.
So we had that experience next to where I was sitting. There were a couple of Patriots fans that were just standing with every single play that the Pats were doing, but not doing anything wrong or disrespecting anybody. And we got to see some of the Patriots fans that were sitting to me next to me. We got to see some of our Dolphins fans that they were calling for nothing. The police, the guys had the police call like three times for no reason, and we got to understand that they just wanted the three guys that were sitting there to get thrown out of the stand. So that was nice. I don't know if it happens in every single stadium, but the other stuff that I wanted to talk about is that I was waiting for you, Fred, and for Eric to come to the buses and actually take a picture with you guys. I managed to see only Eric on his way to the bus. I called him, but I guess he was a little busy and he couldn't, pay attention to me. I got to talk to Brian Lowe for a couple of seconds. I told him to let you know, guys, that the PFW fans from Miami were there. And but anyways, it was a good experience. And the other stuff that I wanted to actually talk about was that, I'm a little concerned about these Patriots secondary, especially the safety position. But let's see how things work going forward.
Okay, Davmar.
It's nice talking to you guys, and I look forward to calling any other time, okay?
All right, okay. We'll talk to you, man.
Dagmar from Miami. Sorry I missed you.
You blew him off?
I didn't blow anybody off. I kind of looked around when I walked out of the bus and to the bus, and no one waved to me.
I mean, I expect Eric to ignore him and pretend he's busy and walk right by because Eric's a douche, but I expect more from you, Fred. You need to interact with our fans.
Webradio@patriots.com is back up.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. The IT guy came in, typed in a couple things, and all of a sudden I have 50 emails. So
I told you we had a problem.
Yeah.
I was worried.
So there was something going on here, but now we've got it. Nick writes in. He says, "I just wanted to share with you a PFW-related dream I had last night. It started out with a lot of people in this compound, and we were all getting ready to go Yeti hunting. You know, Yeti is like the abominable, not abominable snowman, but what's the guy out west? What do they call him?
I don't know, Yeti?
No, Sasquatch.
Those commercials messing with Sasquatch.
Right. Everyone started getting split into groups, and I end up being in the same group as Paul and a few different people. Needing one more in our group, I got excited when in walked Jimmy Sanders. He looked around the room and decided to join the other group. Immediately, we turned around and started blaming Paul for scaring him away. Paul then tried to explain how it wasn't his fault, and Jimmy was wary of anyone associated with PFW because Andy creeped him out. Just then, Bill Belichick called everyone over and started drawing up ideal Yeti hunting formations. Unfortunately, we never actually saw a Yeti. Anyway, thought I would send in my dream. I woke up very confused and looking forward to listening to you guys. Dreams like this just prove how great a show you have. And Nick wants to know if he can be Nick in Illinois now. There was another one who used to email in from time to time, but I haven't heard you read anything from him in a while. Sure, I guess. I mean,
Is he from Illinois?
Yeah, that's what he says.
Well, then you're Nick in Illinois.
I
dub thee.
Let's switch over back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. And we'll go to Steve in Georgia. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. But, Paul, I think you're wrong.
On which one? I'm probably wrong on a lot of things.
I think Eric Mangini did do it on purpose, and two, I wouldn't let him back in the building also. You got
the only thing I disagree with you about is
the Bill Belichick that had a bad ending.
Well, we all we all agree about
his best friend to go back and try to talk to his old girlfriend.
Okay. What happened? What happened to Steve?
I don't know. I was waiting for Paul to respond.
What happened, Matt?
You hung up on him.
No, I just did now, but what happened?
I don't know. He must have hung up.
All right. So he agrees with me anyway.
But I think he disagrees with you on that he did it on purpose. You don't think he did it on purpose. That was the first thing he said.
Did what on purpose?
The Spygate.
No, he definitely told on purpose. He didn't expect it to end the way it ended. I don't think he honestly
so
did.
So you're on the opposite side of Steve then. You're with me.
Okay.
Steve thinks he did it on purpose. He knew what was happening.
He knew it would end up that way? Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, the only thing that is in disagreement is the whole let him get his belongings out of the building thing.
Right.
That's the only thing I disagree
with. You wait until you have an escort, and we'll get you your stuff.
I don't care how it's done. Let him in the building.
Not alone.
I don't care.
Well,
alone,
you did before. You said before he should be able to
just
walk in.
Yeah, I don't really care because I think if he wants to get his pens, I don't really think it's a state secret. You do.
You're missing the whole point, Paul. You're being very stubborn.
No, you're missing my whole point. It was about hatred. That's all.
Saul in Orlando's there on the phone. Hey, Saul.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, we're just doing this little radio show here on Patriots.com Radio.
Oh, little man. This show's the best.
Thank you.
That's right. We're huge.
Stop downplaying yourself.
It's the pregame social that's little.
Well, you know, we like to downplay.
About how bad or how many yards, whatever you want to call it, how many yards the pass defense gave him up. Did you guys touch on how many teams scored like 28 or more points this weekend? 9 other teams besides us. I'm wondering if it's not just us.
There's no defense
in
football, period.
Because of the shorter offseason.
Yeah, well, no, I would have thought it would have gone the opposite way because of the offseason, but I just think it's getting more and more to the point where there are no teams that play suitable defense. Right now, championship-level defense is see if you can force 2 or 3 punts during the course of the game and maybe force a turnover.
Paul, you know, like in baseball, they say like in spring training, it takes the batters a little more time to catch up. Which one is it, the pitchers?
Pitchers are always ahead of the hitters.
Pitchers are always ahead. So in football, do you think there's a correlation there?
Defense is, you know, when you start training camp, you would think that offense is more execution-based and would take a little bit more time to get
right, but that's
up
not
to speed.
The case.
Has been just the opposite in week one. Now, all during training camp, defense dominated. On the practice field, the Patriots' offense did not have a lot of sharp days. It's been just the opposite in week one all across the NFL. As Andy and I were talking about, Cam Newton goes out his first game.
For us in the coming season?
What was that, Saul?
You think this is going to be a trend for us in the coming season?
I don't know. I mean, the question is it a trend for the league?
For the Patriots, it's been about a 4-year trend.
Yeah.
So I mean, they score in the 30s and give up in the 20s.
Rivers going to throw for like 600 yards next week?
There's certainly a possibility. I mean, I don't think it'll happen because
no,
that's an aberration, but there's certainly a chance he's going to give up 300.
I guess Basil wants me to bring it up that Henny did what Peyton Manning could never do. No one's thrown against us that badly since 2001's Kurt Warner. We made basically Chad Henne look like the greatest show on turf last night.
Yeah, Peyton Manning has done that many times to the Patriots, but yeah.
Well, maybe just not that number.
Maybe not in terms of yardage, but in points.
To the point where Bill
I saw him put 40 on the board back-to-back years in this building.
Yeah. Bill wouldn't punt to him. That's how much he fears Peyton Manning moving down the field.
So, take it easy, guys.
Okay, right. Salt, thanks for calling in.
You know that was Salt, right?
Oh, it was Salt?
No, I don't think that was Salt.
Oh, I thought it was Salt.
Why do you think that? You think S-A-U-L is pronounced Salt?
I think that was Basil's friend.
Oh, I thought it was Salt, you know, and Peppa?
No, this is from Orlando.
Where's Salt from?
They're from, like, the Midwest somewhere.
No.
Salt's from Florida.
Salt is from Florida, but Saul, they're from here. Basil? Right.
That's at Orlando.
Oh, Salt then.
We're arguing about
from. That's important.
I like to respect our listeners.
That was
Salt.
A different person.
I called him Saul twice, and he didn't correct
me. But that kind of sounds like Salt, and they clearly can't hear us because they keep talking over
us. It was S-A-U-L.
Just because this idiot typed SAU. No offense, Matt. S-A-U-L.
No offense,
doesn't
I just called you an
name.
Idiot.
Not the first time I've called an idiot. It's okay.
All right. Nick
look at him. He's got a little idiot look to him.
Nick is from Maine, and he's a new listener. He says, let me start off by saying I started listening to PFW in Progress about a week after the lockout, and I love it. Unlike mainstream media sources, ESPN, Fox, you guys all have differing opinions and answer the questions that the real Pats fans want to know.
Yeah.
You know how when you read a book, you form your own image of what the characters look like, and then maybe the book is made into a movie, and you're extremely surprised to see that the characters look nothing like you expected.
Shut up.
That's what happened when I Googled the PFW staff's pictures. Andy looks nothing at all like I imagined because I was expecting his physical stature to match his radio bravado. Not so much.
That's going to leave a little bit of a mark.
Yeah.
I'm a big tough guy. I'm in Maine. I cut down trees.
That's going to leave a mark.
Mesko made him look between a cross between a Smurf and a T-Rex.
Mesko is 6'4", 6'5".
My T-Rex
your
thing
fault.
Is catching on.
Yes, and for a guy who has so much of his persona is built on his bodily appearance.
Right.
He spent so much time looking in a mirror and you know,
You two fat
sort of
idiots.
Cultivating this look.
Right. But
that's got to leave a mark.
But you're still the man, Andy, says Nick. Paul, I wasn't too
That didn't make up for the shot.
Well, he's not done yet. Paul, I wasn't too surprised because I had seen him on other TV programs and already had an image in my mind.
Of course you have.
Fat and bald.
Kevin looks a lot less nerdy than I thought he would. But he should ask his mom if she had relations with Ben Roethlisberger, because I'm sure he is his son. And Fred, you really do have fat shoulders.
Now it's funny, by the way.
Right. I saw Eric's photo, and I was sure it must be Fred based on his voice.
What does that mean?
So I sound like a skinny, Squidward-looking guy?
A-hole. Sensitive artist.
Now to my question. Do you think that the reason we saw a lack of consistent pressure on Chad Henne was due to the fact that Belichick didn't want to over-pursue with his defensive ends because of the threat of Reggie Bush breaking it outside the tackles and the possible screen plays. Throughout the game, it looked like Ellis and Carter put pressure on the tackles but didn't try to penetrate inside too much. Do you think with less explosive running backs that Belichick will dial up more pressure against the Chargers to slow down Rivers? It could be. I mean, Bush is somebody they had to respect in that game.
Yeah, but I think once that the running game was no longer a factor, I would have expected to see some pressure.
Well, they had four sacks, right?
They threw the ball 53 times.
All right.
Plus, every team has a running back who's decent, who's athletic, who can make a play. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know Bush has got good numbers, and he's a good player, but he's not God's gift to coming out of the backfield.
All right.
He's certainly not Hall of Fame Marshall Faulk.
Let's cap it off with a quick game, says Nick. More snaps this season, Vollmer or Solder?
Vollmer.
Solder.
You say Vollmer. Really?
Wait a minute. Because I'm guilty of a lack of preparation today. I had no idea of this Mangini thing. Is there something about Vollmer we don't know?
No.
He just didn't play. I'm actually using your own theory.
Back issues?
For you.
Back issues?
He's having back issues.
Well, that's why I was asking.
A guy with a back history having back issues
maybe
is bad.
I'm making a bad assumption that.
So minus injuries, you think Vollmer gets more?
Oh, I'm 100% in.
Oh,
on that.
Okay. Yeah. No. But that
Solder will
question.
Only play if there is injuries to one of the tackles.
This is just more snaps this season. This didn't say any.
Right.
And I used the theory that it's not that bad when they didn't keep more tackles on the roster as kind of a read in that it's not a major injury. But I'm sorry, he missed the first game. They had to scramble and sign. Now I just think it's a back injury, and back injuries are unpredictable.
I know, but based on one game, do you think there's any chance that Solder, Lou Gehrig, Vollmer?
No.
No? Okay. Andy doesn't understand that.
No, I was just making sure you had the
Wally
connection
pipped,
right.
The verb would be Wally pipped, but yeah. I know what you meant.
Which is a very funny aspect of the Bill Belichick documentary.
Andy Hart, right. By the way, hated the documentary.
Right. I thought it was great. So. Although the disc you gave me was not part two. Even though it had a number two on it, it was the same disc as number one.
Did you watch
it's
it through?
It's the whole thing.
It's the whole thing.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Idiot. Okay.
No, I skipped forward a little bit. I'm like, this is the same thing.
Yeah, you have to drag it through to the.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It's Dumas.
I mean, there's always a chance I labeled it wrong, too.
Oh, no, it's dumbass.
there's one disc that has the whole 2 hours?
Yes.
Okay. More TD catches.
We could sell those.
Andy and I feature prominently in disc.
Oh, I got to watch
disc
that again,
number
then.
Two.
Would I get in trouble if I sold mine?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you seen John Elway's junk?
Yes. More TD catches
I was hiding
this
in his
season.
Locker. As
more
a
TD
kid.
Catches this season, Gronk or Hernandez?
Gronk.
I'm going to go Gronk too, but that could be close.
More catches this season, Ocho Cinco or Danny Woodhead?
Ocho.
How many did Woodhead have?
One.
He's off to a slow start. That's what I thought.
And what's Woodhead going to catch? 40,
gonna,
45, 50 at the most?
I'm going to look blue sky, and I'm going to say Ocho. Over.
Why
on,
is blue sky?
Because I'm hoping that he does something that I haven't seen yet.
But so why?
I've seen Danny Woodhead catch 20, 30 passes with the Patriots. I have never seen Ocho do that.
Okay.
I just didn't know why it was blue sky for one of those over the other. Like, if Woodhead had more.
Because the question right now is, will Ocho be able to contribute? So I'm blue skying it and saying, yes, he will.
Yeah, I was just answering the question. I think he'll have more than Woodhead.
Oh, did you know that?
You have to pick everything.
No, I didn't
apart.
Understand.
It's
I just,
unbelievable.
Like, to me,
end
if I had said Woodhead, because I always get accused of being negative. If I had said Woodhead, would that have been a negative response?
No.
You should have said Woodhead.
Because you said blue sky, I'm going to go Ocho Cinco.
But you should say Woodhead, because... The ship has passed for you on that boat.
No,
has
I just, but I kind of, I'm kind of with Fred
is
Woodhead
on Woodhead on your list.
Yeah, but I kind of think that he'll catch, you know, somewhere around 35 passes.
But you think
I don't
Ocho,
think he's going to be completely irrelevant.
Earlier is a backup, is a secondary.
He is,
but Woodhead is the primary pass
running
catcher
back
out of the backfield. Yeah, but for this team, that's 8 catches a game.
No, well, if that happens, then they're going to be in trouble. If they rely on him to catch the ball 8 times a game.
I'm just saying.
More over-under. Catches over 40 yards this season by Slater. 8.
Under.
Under.
Yeah. Over-under. Different offensive linemen starting games this year. 9.
Under.
So far, we're going to have 7 in week 2, potentially. I'm going to take the over.
Under.
Okay. And
we'll read another email now.
Webradio@patriots.com. Scott writes into all the men of PFW and the log cabin Republican in the sweater vest. By the way, I saw Eric in today.
He'll be by later.
Where is he?
He went to practice.
Oh. Practice like 15 minutes, right?
Just let him do his job.
I mean, why do you have to?
I'm wondering why his job takes an hour.
I don't know. He's not that good on this show, so why do we need him?
I assume he's going to write something about it, no?
I don't know.
He didn't think Vollmer got hurt in the Giants game.
Maybe it'd be better if he didn't write anything
about it. Scott also says, based on personnel, would it make sense to switch to a 4-3 primarily given the talent pool at each position? Yes.
For this team right now, yes.
Yes. And this is why nobody emails Paul. I sent this.
Did that email actually come in August?
No, he says, this is why nobody emails Paul. I sent this email in 4 months ago, and Paul dismissed me out of hand as much as Eric gets dismissed by Bill Belichick.
So he did send it in, and I'm right.
It seems that Paul, hater of all fans, Patriot, and of course the same Paul,
chastises don't the put the Patriots word in there. I hate them all.
For not supporting the team on his pregame social disease.
Oh.
Had no emails before the cavalry came to the rescue.
It's true.
Stop dissing the fans, Paulie, and maybe you will get some more emails.
Yeah, don't limit it to the Patriots fans, though. Who's that emailer?
Paul just hates fans.
I hate fans because you guys
Parsons.
Don't know anything.
So do you hate yourself because you're a fan of Northeastern?
That's true.
You're a self-loathing fan.
Yes.
Okay. Webradio@patriots.com. The ACE ticket hotline is 508-298-0398, all coming to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. What's so funny, Andy?
Inside Gillette Stadium, which actually is a sponsor, technically.
Somebody wants to know what my other thing is. Did you say I had an other thing?
No.
Andy?
I really didn't know where you were, to be honest with you.
Oh.
Oh, you had a meeting, you said.
Yeah.
With who?
People
I
that
always like to put
people at a higher pay rate than I am, so I had to go. Ed says, do you think Brandon Spikes is on the way out, similar to what happened with Adalis Thomas? Did he miss any meetings, or has he been a disruption in the locker room?
I've not heard anything of that.
But that's an element of this that could be part of it. It might have been some sort of discipline involved in that they kept in house, like Bill is very good at doing
for playing basketball in the summer and getting hurt.
Could have been for anything.
For tweeting?
Could have been for anything.
I think that there is something.
I think there's something.
To be
going
totally
on.
Honest and giving you my opinion, I think all this stuff has added up to the point where
I agree with you, Freddie.
You know, you're not 100% healthy. You have all this off-field stuff. You're not paying attention. You know, we're going to use this guy Fletcher, who is with the program, and we're going to use, you know, the other guys.
Wait a minute. You, to start this show, argued that it was injury-related despite the fact he wasn't on the injury report.
I said maybe.
Well, what are you saying?
That's my opinion. I just gave you my opinion.
So he's not hurt?
Oh, I think he is a little bit hurt. I do think he is.
In his heart or his ankle?
No, I think
he's a little hurt, Bill.
I don't think he's 100%.
Nobody's 100% at this point.
Right. But you know
cliche.
What I mean.
I think he's healthy, but I think that it's a lot of things that are adding up.
It's, right.
I agree with that. Andy talked about that. You know, he came out of college, and he was billed as this ultimate guy off the field.
The defensive
great,
Tebow.
Great leader, great football guy, just, you know, just loved football.
I remember at the combine, he said,
instincts.
Since sixth grade, I don't know why, people just followed me. I was, it
instincts.
Just happened.
Instincts for the game. And on the field, since he's been here, we've seen nothing but the opposite. I mean, off the field, nothing but the opposite. He's been in constant, trouble, and to varying degrees. You might look at it and say, he had that incident, you know, with the, you know, online, the video. And you might look at it and say, well,
Fred,
you know,
saw that.
He was a college kid. It was, and I agree.
It shows a lack of judgment.
But I agree. It's just one thing. But when it's one of five things, I wonder what kind of judgment the guy, that's the right. the best word for it. I think that his time here is going to be short.
I do, too.
What I hope is happening is they're just giving him a wake-up call, like they might have tried to do a couple times with Brandon Merriweather, but I hope it sticks with Spikes.
Did you see the follow-up Merriweather story?
No.
Follow-up
to what? Him being released?
No, just of late, it came in the news that there is a man being charged with rape at Brandon Merriweather's house this summer.
Oh, God.
No Merriweather connotation he was, but just another one of those things where bad stuff is around you because you put yourself in a situation for bad stuff to be around you.
Speaking of guys released, you know, Benny Sapp was released after the game. The guy that Welker stiffed arm. Strippers writes in, Mike Lombardi dissected the 99-yard play and says it's Mike Nolan's fault. He knew Sapp couldn't cover Welker, but he took a risk. Now Sapp is out of work for Nolan's mistake.
But what was the safety doing?
I utterly disagree with that. You know, far be it for me to question a guy who was in an NFL front office. But a safety went over and tried to make a play on the ball and missed an interception by about a half an inch. Brady's brilliance made that play. And then Welker turned it into a touchdown with a brilliance run after the catch. Stiff-arming Benny Sapp out of the way and going the final 65 yards. The safety said, we're down 14 points with 5.5 minutes left. Me blowing this guy up and holding it to a 25-yard catch isn't good enough. I have to make an interception here.
Right.
He went for the interception and didn't get it.
Right. No, they had to take a chance.
They had two guys there. The safety came over and he missed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
I mean, did I miss the play?
No, I blame the safety.
Blame whatever you want, but I mean, should they have had three guys on him? They had two. How many guys should there have been there?
Doug in France also wants to talk about Brandon Spikes. He said, I read today, but I can't find the article, where the author said Spikes is in Bill's doghouse due to his attitude. Bill was not happy with the shape Spikes was in returning from his suspension. The author also said Spikes tweeted he is in hell.
That's true.
Tom Curran in his Curran's 44 lines on 22 Patriot issues implies the same. Is there anything to this?
What the F is
44 lines on 22 issues?
I don't know. Does that mean 22 guys on the field? I don't know what he means by that.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That'll be another fight for him and me to have.
Okay. What do you think about that, though?
He has, in fact, tweeted, if you go to his Twitter, or if you used to, his location, you know how it has that little bubble that says hell, or maybe even hell on earth.
Hell on earth.
And then he had two years to go.
Out of this place.
People assumed he meant rookie contract.
Everybody read into the fact that he changed his avatar to have Florida Gators.
I don't
stuff
buy
on
into any
Patriots.
Of that, really.
That,
to
I
me,
think
it's the factual
stuff. I think
stuff.
He's tweaking stuff there. He's trying to tweak.
But that's stupid. Don't tweak when you are having actual issues with videos and suspensions
to me,
and
it
injuries.
Gets back to Fred's thing.
Don't tweak.
It's another example. Small.
That's like your kid being in timeout and tweaking while in timeout.
Bad,
what are you tweaking? No,
bad judgment.
This
it's
guy.
Another, Fred's right.
They need to build. Certain guys need to live here.
They need to build them an apartment. And for an extended period of time, they need to just live here for a while and just not have any other distractions. He's one of those guys.
Yeah. He certainly shouldn't be on Twitter.
Let's see. Adam is lost in the woods of Maine. Nice. But he still has connectivity because he emailed us and he said, great game the other night, and I'm feeling pretty good about this year. I will just retain hope that the D tightens up a few screws and plays like I hope the coaches think they can. After Monday, I just was wondering if at any point in the last few weeks any of you had the feeling they'd use Fletcher on offense more than once in the same game. Is that something that we can look forward to seeing more? I think he can cave a role on both sides of the ball.
Carve. Help the guy out. He left out an R.
Okay.
Wow.
He can carve a role on both sides of the ball like Troy Brown or Mike Vrabel.
So angry.
I will admit I'm endeared to players with multiple uses. Slater is climbing the ranks in my disillusioned world.
I think this was purely coincidental that Dan Conley had to play center so he couldn't be the goal line fullback. And Fletcher's the goal line backup fullback.
Yeah, and there's very few guys that actually carve out a role
right.
on both
Vrabel.
Sides.
Vrabel
did it.
Troy Brown is one.
You know, Matthew Slater is not carving out a role on both sides of the football.
How many of these 50-yard catches are we going to overlook?
What's his role on the other side?
He's played a little bit of safety.
Oh, I thought the guy meant special teams. He's a special teamer.
No, but I mean, almost everybody plays special teams.
But Slater is a special teamer. His
yes.
main role is to be the elite coverage guy.
Yes,
the
no,
captain,
I,
all
I think it's very fair to say, and I this was one of my random thoughts, I think, you know, after the game in the post-game read and react in the paper. At some point, you
on
have to say,
today.
Right. At some point, you have to say,
air traffic controlled.
He is part of the, he's a part of the offense. You know, he's now mm-hmm. getting an opportunity on a fairly consistent basis to make some plays.
He's Brandon Tate. He's taken the Tate role where
yeah.
yes.
when we ask a guy to run deep, it's Matthew Slater.
He has taken the Tate role.
Right. Yep. But he caught it.
Yep.
Yeah. I just don't look at that up. As a dual threat because he's a special teams guy and he plays wide
well,
receiver.
You don't think much of the kicking game. I believe at practice you say, couldn't you do this on your own time when they start to do special teams segments?
I do, but is Devin McCourty a dual threat because he plays cornerback and he covers kicks?
No, but he's not known for special teams. Slater.
He was when he came in.
No, he wasn't.
But you know what I'm
McCourty?
Saying?
McCourty?
Don't!
Do you consider the coverage game?
No.
Like,
that's not a two-way player. Right. That's not a two-way.
Thank you.
We're talking about two-way player.
And he
Mike
agrees,
Vrabel.
That's your main role?
He Mike
agrees,
Vrabel.
He agrees two-way, with me, you know, too, but he's just being too stubborn.
Right. You're being very stubborn.
No.
You're being
you're
a
playing
blockhead.
The role. Well, you know what you're doing? You're playing the role of Paul right now.
I do not weigh 300 pounds.
Wow.
I agree with you for the most
Listen,
part.
Listen, just because the fans were unimpressed with your tiny little physique, don't take that out on me and lash out.
Not
tiny
T-Rex.
Shut up,
it's
both
catching
of you.
On. It's catching on.
Can I
on.
Talk football for just a minute?
Simon is near
Apparently
the
not.
Simon is near the ye old cock inn, and he says, "Now Fred's back. We can start emailing."
That's what we should say when Fred walks in the room. Ye old cock inn.
Where all the old porn stars go to die. Now Fred's back. We can start
give
emailing.
Give out Viagra at the door.
I'm a little worried about our new D being gashed by draw plays and delays up the middle. Is this a symptom of the middle linebacker slot being in flux, or is this going to be an issue all season? Also, can someone tell me why Arrington is still playing as a down lineman? Starting nitpick Wednesday early, but it's good to have football back.
I forgot I wanted to talk to him about that.
I brought it up in our interview.
How'd that go?
With him playing,
did you lose
when
it?
When we saw that, I thought
is that
sure
when you were swearing?
Like,
was that when you were
stuff.
Swearing more than Ron Jaworski?
No, I was involved with a lot of things. I missed it.
You
he
missed
probably
it.
Had 15 snaps.
He had
there,
more snaps doing
snaps
that
there.
Than he did anything else.
How'd you miss it?
It didn't seem the same as last year when he was doing it
because they were winning.
Right, right.
He won a lot last year too.
Yeah. It didn't seem the same.
I think you just missed it because it was the same.
I missed it. The guy doing a live blog. I missed it.
It's
our corner
hard.
Was playing.
Well, you know what he should start doing? I make fun of the writers because I noticed this being the first game that Andy and I weren't at, first regular season game, we weren't actually there. We were on our phones a lot, you know, keeping track of what people were writing and tweeting.
Right.
Everybody tweets play by play.
I know. It's needless. They don't need to do that.
Did you know that Tom Brady threw a 99-yard touchdown pass to Wes Welker?
Unbelievable. It's crazy.
Why
what
they
I'd
feel
like
that,
them to tweet is information that I can't see.
Well,
see,
there were four or five
understand?
Things that I would have liked to have had tweeted
all
out that
All those people are following Patriots as well. So they're getting all the real
right.
Patriots
but
tweets.
But here's the thing, Fred. If they're following you on Twitter.
They're watching the game.
They're Patriots fans, and they're watching the game.
I know.
100%
so,
of them.
I know.
So what those people need to be doing, especially for people like Paul and I
Insight.
Now.
No, but what I can't see through that little screen I'm watching,
right.
What's going on the bench? Who's Jim Whalen looking at? What are they looking at? Is he jogging? Right. Did Rozay Dowling come out after his first snap? Give me stuff that I can't see through the lens.
I had a good talk with this with our buddy Mike Reese, who doesn't necessarily abuse the Twitter function the way seemingly everybody else does. And I don't want to get into specifics because I don't want anybody to get upset at me.
Oh, now you can do it? I can't?
No, I'm not actually saying it. You would say it.
Ian?
See?
Jerk.
He really is.
Why is Ian a jerk?
No, you
are a jerk. I took
a
good shot at him today.
But Mike was saying how, talking about Brian Waters and Dan Conley, that he tweeted that out, how they were rotating. Well, that's something you would necessarily know just off of TV. Now, Andy and I did notice it because Andy had actually mentioned it because I wasn't sure. I didn't really notice it, and Andy did. And he put that was another part of the Read and React, which you might want to get on newsstands today.
Don't give me too much credit. I saw a white guy at right guard. The guy who started was black.
A fair point. You know, Dan Copen is on the sideline, and before maybe he gets picked up on TV, you mentioned, you know, he's out there and you saw someone go up to him and talk to him or whatever it was. You and Eric had come back, Freddie, and mentioned that Mike Wright was standing on the sideline and he had no helmet.
Right.
Which was an indication he wasn't likely to return.
Right.
I can't see that on TV, but the fact that Brady threw for 517 yards, do you think they might have mentioned that on the telecast once or twice?
It's true.
I don't need play-by-play.
You're right. Andrew,
as usual.
Andrew from Monterey, California. Love Monday night's game and all that offense. The no huddle was such a great game plan for the hot weather, and it showed in the box score. I'm starting to develop a serious man crush on Aaron Hernandez. He is just so versatile and fast. I think he is due for a monster season. Do you think we might see him in some running reverse plays at all this year?
Yes.
I think we did last season.
Yes.
The D
fullback,
line,
too. Don't leave that out.
The D-line, however, was a little bit of a disappointment. I thought we would see more of Mayo pressuring a la the Bucs game. What's up with McCourty? Obviously, he won't be putting up numbers like last year, but was it that just that Marshall is bigger and stronger, or are we seeing a sophomore slump? He would have had one interception if it wasn't for Chung.
Right. Yeah, I would have thought that his numbers would go down this year because of a lack of opportunity. He had more opportunities.
And last year, his big plays, he also made just average plays, you know, where he was covering guys. This year, I'm not going to say he's having a good year if he stinks, has a pick.
And
you
got to
be good all the time when you're considered a Pro Bowl corner.
And it could have been worse.
Oh, God,
the other night. He got beat off the line a couple of times the other night.
No, it was the other guy in Detroit, right?
Burleson?
Yeah, Burleson, because I was going to say.
Had dropped the touchdown pass on him?
Getting beat by Calvin Johnson and Brandon Marshall in consecutive weeks wouldn't be the worst, but Nate Burleson.
Now, Calvin Johnson beat him, too. But,
no, I know, but
Nate Burleson's the one who dropped the touchdown.
If Calvin Johnson beats him occasionally, Brandon Marshall. Just seems it's kind of repetitive here.
Yeah,
they're attacking him. They're going after him.
But here's the thing. What's going to happen, I think, that Bill's going to put him on those guys. You know, this week it's Vincent Jackson and Malcolm Floyd.
If he's a Pro Bowl corner, then.
You know, the following week it's going to be Stevie Johnson. You know, it might not be an all-pro caliber receiver, but everybody's got at least one or two guys that can play.
Right.
So it's not like he's going to see nobody.
He's
going to
have a bad year. I have a bad feeling he's going to have a bad year.
I just think it's surprising to me.
You're negative.
How much teams
have you watched?
Have thrown at
the
him.
Game spread?
He'll be all right.
Everybody will be all right.
Andrew writes in also, what do you guys think about the Chargers O-line versus this new pass rush? I used to live in San Diego, but that was a few years ago, and I don't know much about them anymore. Thanks for the great show, radio and TV, and I'm excited about the upcoming PFW iPad app.
It's not a great offensive line for San Diego, but I don't think it's as bad as Miami.
No.
They have Nick Hardwick back at center, and he missed most of last year. That's been a nice pick-me-up for them, and they have Marcus McNeil for the full season at left tackle. He was sort of in flux with that contract last year, so that's a big edge for them over last year. But they had some protection issues against Minnesota. Now, that's a pretty good pass rush with Jared Allen. Jared, did you watch any of that game, by the way? What a game he played. He spent either time inside Phillip Rivers' shirt or dropping into coverage, picking off passes. That was an unbelievable interception he had. Did you see that play? Coming to a little wheel route out of the backfield. He was stride for stride with him. He reached out and caught the ball right in front of the receivers.
Like a playmaker?
Yeah.
Like I want to see from some rocky playmakers. I don't care who.
Isn't Gerard Mayo the guy you want to see those plays out of?
Well, there's three of them. I've anointed three people on this team as special. Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo, and Devin McCourty. I expected Vince Wilfork to dominate the rookie center. He didn't. I expected Gerard Mayo to have some success off the edge. He didn't. He was chasing Reggie Bush like Terrell Buckley, and I expect McCourty
tore a groin on one of them.
Yes, and I expect McCourty to at least hold his own against good receivers. He didn't. That's not good.
Chris,
that's awfully negative.
Wait a minute. Am I not? They're captains. They're stars. No, they're all pros.
That's fine.
I hold them to a higher standard than Rob Ninkovich?
I know. You're right. You're right. You didn't say anything wrong. I just tend to focus on the more positive.
You don't focus on anything that's positive except when it's for the other team.
To me, it was all about Brady.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Chris in Stamford writes
Brady's pretty good now.
Hey, Fred, I'm in step with what you're saying about
and white beaters are bad. Low-hanging fruit.
I don't know what he's talking about.
And by the way, wife beaters like your guy. Manny Ramirez. Manny Ramirez.
Are you trying to say that, because I like Manny Ramirez that I condone violence against women?
Miscast as a bad guy. And
no,
he's clearly
I did
just
not.
A bad guy.
I absolutely
he cheats
did
on
not.
His taxes, he beats women, and he takes steroids. He's Barry Bonds.
I said nothing of the sort. I enjoyed
bad
watching
guy.
The guy play baseball.
You loved him. You defended him.
I love watching him hit.
He beat up the old man. You defended him.
Well, the guy had it.
Really?
Coming. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure she did, too.
Really? I think the only thing I defended him on was when he beat up Euculus, because I hate Euculus. And, by the way, his teammates agree with me.
Chris in Stamford says, hey, Fred, I'm in step with what you're saying about the Pats D and their ability to stop Miami. This leads to one question. Would you rather the Patriots be leading by 4 points or trailing by 4 points with 3 minutes left and the trailing team in possession?
Trailing.
Who are we playing?
Trailing by four with 3 minutes
depends
left.
Who we're playing.
Paul says trailing.
Donovan McNabb.
But that's not even about this team. I would
Tavares
always.
Jackson.
I would rather have control of the game. Almost always
even,
would rather be
well,
coming
I can
from
see
behind.
3 points, but 4 points.
Trying to hold on.
Where the other team has to score a touchdown?
Yes.
Wow.
See, that's matter of fact, I know that this sounds really stupid. I would rather it be four than three because if I have the ball and I'm coming from behind, because now I go for the win. I don't want to have to. You know, well, I'm in field goal range, so I don't want to do anything stupid and risk a turnover here. Worst that's going to happen is overtime. I think when they're only trailing by three, teams play for the field goal. When you're up four, obviously you have to get all the way to the end zone.
I'd almost always want the lead late, but I have a lot more confidence in the offense this year.
Yeah,
we'll
I just
see
think,
what happens next week.
I think that year. Everybody has more confidence
year
in
before.
Their offense right now.
This is a good email. Read this one. Subject, Andy is right.
Aaron from Sterling says,
parenthetically, had to happen someday.
Well, pigs must be flying because I agree with Andy regarding the Ocho thoughts. One,
there's a surprise.
I don't think that he is that far behind, but when you have two receivers and two tight ends that are ahead of him in knowing the offense, then yes, you go to them and keep them in. If Chad was pressed into action due to injury or whatever, do you really think he would only have one catch? Don't you think he would have similar games to that of Plaxico in New York or Evans in Baltimore? These guys are all talented but need some time. Two, if this offense is that complex, then you don't risk a draft pick and $4 million in cash on a guy that you won't have many years with the team. Doesn't make sense. Maybe Bill gave up a little more because he likes Chad on a personal level, but it's a bad trade if you don't give this guy a few months to get up to speed.
Bill let emotion get in the way.
Third.
So, wait, can I just stop on that second point there?
Sure.
I agree. I mean, you need a little time to get up to speed. I'm the one I think is a fine trade. Andy thought
right.
it's
and
a bad trade.
It's a bad trade, too.
Yeah.
I agree, because he's getting older.
But,
if you don't think
so, you don't think he can do something at the end of the year? You don't think he can do something next year if he's not quite ready to do something now?
I think your best chances are younger rather than older.
Okay.
I think he's aging. He's an aging receiver.
Well, I think that's the bigger part of the problem, to be honest with you. Physical.
Yeah. Third and lastly, I love Teddy, but he went a little overboard in the analysis of a tweet. Give Ocho a little room to say something about the game. He's a guy who loves to tweet and didn't have a huge impact. Is he not allowed to take 15 seconds to comment? He can't stand back and praise his team. I get what Teddy is saying, but I think we are inferring a bit much from 140 characters.
And that, I'm 100% on board with that.
Here's a quick question. Who gets the game ball if each of you were the coach? I think I give it to the O-line. They played way above my expectations.
If I can give it to a group, I would. For the adversity they went through, I would. I'd give it to the O-line.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd give it to Brady.
All right, if it's not Brady, then I would give it to the tight ends.
Tight ends, yeah. All right, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jamie in Houston. Hey, Jamie.
What's going on, fellas? Long time no talk.
Yeah, where you been?
I've been hanging out, playing words with friends with you there, Andy.
Who's winning?
He is.
Oh. Okay.
And I don't cheat, Bill. And I'll give Andy credit. I'm pretty sure he doesn't cheat because none of his words are any more than four letters. So
suck it, Trebek. I'm beating your ass. If I needed bigger words, I'd beat him. I'm like Bill. I only score enough points to win.
All right, there you go. Well, it's great that
you're not like Bill again, then.
Let's talk about starting defense, place at the table. I don't think Haynesworth and the line got enough credit. They have left a lot of room for improvement, but I think there's a lot more to worry about than how the front four will line up. I think it's also overlooked that didn't Haynesworth draw like at least two holding penalties from Incognito, and I think he may have even gotten a third.
No, two.
From another guy, and that's 30 yards backwards that he's generating.
Yeah, no, he did. He drew two holding penalties. That's
I'm sorry?
No, you're right on. He drew a couple of holding penalties, and that is part of what he's asked to do.
Yeah. So, I think that I think they provided a good push. And then another piece is it's easy to give Henny a lot of time. I think three quarters of those 50 snaps or attempts that he took were from the shotgun. So, when you're starting from 7 yards back, you're asking a whole lot from that front four. Especially when the Miami guys themselves, I think they were all crippled by the second half. Half of them were sitting out because of cramps and everything, and our guys hung in there. We were better conditioned than they were, I thought.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jamie. No, I think he's right. So
I don't really get the shotgun thing, but the conditioning certainly was a factor.
Well, certainly if
almost every pass in the NFL is thrown out of the shotgun.
But then it gets down to how quickly it's being released. Right. Dan Marino, obviously the Dolphins back then were a passing team, but he didn't get sacked a lot because he just released the ball so quickly.
Yeah, well, that's what Brady does.
Right. And Manning, by the way.
Yeah, Manning's good at it, too. He protects his offensive line very well.
So it's not that a team...
The best, according to the New York Life Protection Index.
You can have a really good pass rush against those guys, but it's just tough to get to them. I'm not saying Henny is with those guys.
Yeah, I just didn't see a lot of pressure,
Wow. Fred just put Chad Henne in the same sentence with Brady and
Manning. I just didn't see a lot of pressure. I didn't see Chad Henne getting rid of the ball quickly. Matter of fact, to the contrary, the color analysts actually swore... trying to implore him to get the ball out of his hands quicker.
Hey, we've all done it.
Dave in West Virginia says, I was just wondering what you guys thought, what your thoughts were on Dowling getting the majority of snaps over Bodden Monday night. And also, did Mr. Hart, who's a lover of breasts, see the Scarlett Johansson leaked nude cell phone photos?
I have not, but I assume strippers will forward those to us. So
strippers on that.
What did you think about Dowling getting
the start?
I thought
that was, that was one of the big surprises, I thought. Monday night was seeing Dowling starting and Bodden in the slot. I don't know how you felt, Andy.
I just wondered if it was a physical matchup because of the hand injury or whatever they listed at for Bodden. Is he maybe not ready to bump and jam and like he needs to? I don't know. He said he was fine.
In addition, I think that the more dangerous guy is Bess. And maybe you wanted to have Bodden on him as much as you could inside.
Could be.
Brooklyn Matt writes in, Paul, I love it whenever you say you hate fans because they know nothing. You're exactly right, and I support
you're a fan, Brooklyn Matt. You're a fan.
And I support your stance. Your deep understanding of the game, not only the current state of the sport, but also your encyclopedic knowledge of seasons gone by is second to none. Your expertise is why you get paid to do this, and you've made a nice little career for yourself.
Not really.
I have a similar position.
I don't know. It's kind of gay.
I have a similar position in the music world. I hate music fans because they know nothing in comparison to me. Are you getting all of this, Andy?
I am. That's why you're failing in the music world, because you don't think anyone's catchy. You only do the well-written and what do they call that? Indie music or whatever?
Whatever.
Katy Perry makes good music. It's catchy. It's fun to listen to. That's what sells.
I'm not listening.
That's why you're failing, Brooklyn Matt. That's why you live in Brooklyn.
Fat Pat says, I remember last week you guys were making fun of Paul because he found an interesting observation that Brady seems to have luck with strip sacks and how his O-line always recovers the fumble.
I saw this.
Well, I've got another observation. Have you guys also noticed Brady seems to have luck with interceptions and that he never throws a pick six? The last pick six from the Patriots I could remember is the one in Miami by Jason Taylor, but it was thrown by Castle. That leads me to when has Brady ever thrown one? I'm not sure, but let's hope he keeps that streak going.
I didn't really notice it about pick sixes. But the fumble thing.
The
Andy,
Jets actually.
Yeah, Andy and I, the Jets are way up there too, which is interesting. Two AFC East teams. Yep. The Jets are supposedly like 70% of fumbles they recover. Now, I was talking about offensive fumbles that they recover on their own. And I think that was more in terms of fumbles in general, you know, on defense included. I'm talking about especially those strip sacks. I think it's uncanny how often an offensive lineman.
But maybe it's by design.
You know, fights through.
I mean, if the two best teams in the AFC East happen to be better at it, maybe they practice it more. Maybe there's a greater awareness by the tackles that if you hear something, the ball's on, get on the ball, you know, some sort of thing.
I mean,
that
I tend to think if.
You think it's luck because you are a negative person.
What Al Michaels said Sunday night was, and I have no reason to not believe it, that it's usually around 50% and the Jets recover 70%. That's luck in a 2-year span. That's luck. That's a huge difference. Now, if you said they're closer to 56%, then I would say with Andy saying, well, maybe they have a little bit more attention to detail. Rexy has some innovative idea, but to be that much ahead of the curve. If those numbers are accurate, that's got to be the number one factor there has got to be luck.
You know what I liked was funny is I heard on SportsCenter they were talking about the interception. I forget the exact phrase they used, but like unlucky or made it sound like quirky or whatever to end his streak. Well, do you know how many quirky times he hit guys in the chest and they didn't pick it off during
it's
the streak? So let's not dub the one. It was actually a great defensive play, I thought.
Well, and that's
that led to it, not the pick, but
yeah,
the play.
The pick was
that
lucky.
Sap?
Yeah. The pick was lucky, but the play was made right. by the defensive back. That's a play that we've seen the Patriots have success with how many times? I haven't seen anybody really do that to it.
Yang from Santa Barbara writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, is the email working today? It is now. What is your take on Solder's performance on Monday night? I thought he looked great. However, Tom Curran seems to have a different opinion. Quote, I thought Nate Solder got away with an unbelievable amount of holding Monday night against Cameron Wake. Based on what I saw on TV, Solder did a good job keeping his hands inside. Thanks a lot. So Yang disagrees with what Tom Curran was saying. What do you guys think?
You're right, Yang.
I mean, I don't think he was holding any more than any other.
I think both of those statements are accurate, but here's the thing. If the flag didn't come out, it's not holding.
And he got called for one?
He got called for one. I thought there were a couple others that it looked like holding to me on replays.
There always are.
But I agree with Fred. And you know what? If I saw a lot of that in general. I thought getting a chance to watch a lot of games this weekend, which we normally don't, I thought there was a lot of holding that went uncalled. And if that's like on purpose, a directive, I think that's a good thing.
But don't you
it's
also
hard
think
to protect the quarterback.
If Cameron Wake complained that I'm being held, who's a 14 sack guy versus a rookie tackle, there's a chance they would have called some if they really thought he was holding him. He would have brought it to their attention and he would have gotten the veteran benefit of the doubt or whatever.
Yeah, I thought I thought Solder was dominant Monday night. I thought he played as well as you possibly could have hoped for out of a rookie making his first NFL appearance. I thought he was outstanding.
Gene in Daytona writes in, I believe Eric Mangini is sincere about what he is saying and would have never called out the video stuff if he knew that Goodell was going to go overboard on the punishments. If Tagliabue had been commissioner, I don't think anything would have been done but a slap on the hand. Because that's all he ever did in the past. Belichick's bad luck was the new guy, Goodell, wanting to let everyone know there was a new sheriff in town and he was going to make an example of someone. I also believe Goodell did not enjoy the heavy hand either. And, Fred, how did Rozai Dowling look to you? I mean, he didn't get targeted as well. He looked okay.
I thought he played well.
No, I definitely.
I thought he played well. Yeah. I like his physical nature. He's obviously a bigger guy than the other corners. I thought first impressions, very positive.
I thought it was great that he finished the game. That's the first and foremost issue they talked about on the telecast. I didn't even know he was hurt throughout his high school career, too.
Really? Eric's here. He's just getting settled.
I can't say anything,
I thought Dowling actually got better as the game went on. He looked like they were picking on him. First play of the game, they threw down the sideline to him.
And they picked on McCourty the rest of the game.
Yeah. But then I thought he settled down a little bit. And
Major M writes in from Camp Phoenix in Kabul, Afghanistan.
Oh, they just had a major They've been, there was a huge overnight raid on the embassy.
Oh, is that right? I hope he's all right.
No Americans died, so.
Oh, that's right. Good. That's the one. Yeah, all the insurgents. They got like 20 insurgents or something like that.
Yeah.
Like dismisses it. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the
one. Woke up at 3:30 in the morning to watch the game on American Forces Network. Offense was pretty good. That's but where good. Is the pass rush? Without a pass rush, could the secondary hold up? And I'm listening over the internet.
Aren't we all?
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for you. Absolutely. Eric is still getting.
Yes,
all
no, I'm fine. I mean, do you want?
Eric's back from practice. Let's check out what happened.
So, good news: Sebastian Vollmer back in uniform.
Good.
It was a Shells practice. Not too surprising since they just played. 36 hours ago or whatever it was.
I want to change my pick. I think Vollmer will play more snaps this year than Solder.
Okay. Bad news, obviously, no Dan Copen. Lee Bodden, who talked at length to us today, was not out there either, nor was Mike Wright, who we, you know, talked about not having his helmet for much of the game.
Yeah, I worry about him.
I'm concerned that it's the upstairs and nothing in the lower extremities.
Well, when he was standing there, he looked okay, right? Eric, we were watching him on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, he had his hands on his hips and was watching the whole game. He looked like he was sort of
like... If it was a leg, he wouldn't be standing up.
Right. He also looked like he was anxious to get back in and was...
They
said
no.
Being held out.
Yeah.
Just that's the impression that we got from watching what was going on the side.
Which would fall in line with the head because he probably knows if I go down the head road again, I'm in trouble. Yeah. I could be talking about career-ending head injuries.
Right. That's the only injury, I think, where a guy says, I really want to get in coach, and they won't let him.
Right.
Because they were strictly told, you got to err on the side of caution.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably right, Eric. They were probably saying... Taking your helmet away, you're not going in.
The troubling thing with his injuries, too, if they've all been head injuries, is that they haven't been anything that has been really noticeable. Like, it hasn't been a play where he's been out in space and you've seen him crash into someone and you say, oh, what a hit. Or, you know, like, when Ocho Cinco was hit across the middle.
Right.
Or Danny Woodhead. That was out in the open. You didn't really see what happened to Wright, so we really don't know just how devastating it appeared or when it happened, how it happened.
What's causing these reoccurrences?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No.
It's not good at
all. And the
more
you get them, the easier it is to get them the next time,
Yep.
which is problematic.
There's diminishing
same with
diminishing
women, too,
returns.
By the way. Take note of that.
Of course, the less you get them, the harder it is to get them.
Well, that's the inference, but you don't have to say that. See, that's where... Subtle humor is better than
you have no humor and you're not subtle, so I don't know where you became the expert on subtle humor. Eric agrees with me based on that nod. Anyway, quick rant. Shut up! Quick rant.
Oh, my God.
I don't care for the new helmets. Tom Brady has all this blue crap hanging out of his helmet, and Chad Ochocinco looks like he's got double cameras on his ear flaps. Did you see those?
No.
Yeah, Ocho's helmet looked a little weird the other night.
Literally, I asked Paul, I go, you think there's a chance he has cameras and he's shooting like the OCNN live show?
He actually looked like Chris Ferreira on a game day with those things
they
sticking
stick
out
way
of his
out.
Head.
And you didn't notice Brady's? The inner lining of his helmet looked like it was borderline in the path of his vision. It was like hanging down.
Really?
It's this blue, spongy
well, whatever
stuff.
It is, do it again because it worked.
It's true. That's a good point there. What are you doing?
He's a friend. Friend.
Whatever it is, do it again.
See?
Anything else, Eric?
Black shirts returned for the first time this year. Yeah, go ahead.
Sheesh.
This is thrilling radio right here.
Pat Chung.
Matt Slater.
No. For both of you.
Dan Connolly.
No.
No?
No, it's for practice.
Tyquan Wooden.
Oh.
What's his name?
Well,
Underwood.
He's not on the team anymore.
Kelly Taylor.
No. We've got Julian Edelman on the active roster.
That's who I should have gone with.
A.J. Eads. And then on the practice squad, Baby Bubba Ross Ventrone. And,
just make him my pick for the rest of the year.
I mean, if your name is Ventrone, you're going
to
get one.
Make him my pick.
For those who didn't listen last year, explain what the black jerseys are.
Black jerseys are given to the players from the previous week who did the best job of helping the first-team offense and defense prepare for the upcoming opponent.
Okay. I was going to throw Matt Copa and Aaron Hernandez in there. But
who's
know.
Matt Copa?
One of the practice squad offensive linemen picked up from Miami.
Oh, so they gave him the look of Pouncy.
Perhaps.
Okay. Let's get
but
back.
But yeah, Edelman for best was probably.
And we should know, maybe you guys already did, but Josh Barrett was seen in the locker room and at practice today with a cast on his right hand.
Seen up close and personal by Andy. Couldn't shake his hand, so I had to give him
the
little
fan of the show, Freddie.
Fist bump. Yeah, I said, Andy Hart, Patriots Football Weekly. I said, I work for... And he goes, I know. I like the show. I assume TV.
Yeah, probably radio. TV.
Could be this show.
Could probably be TV.
But regardless, I'll never criticize Josh Barrett again.
Maybe that's why he won't play again.
who is going to play again? They need some play, somebody at safety.
Well, we should do it all the time.
Did you see the Darren Sharper tweet?
Whatever he did, do it again.
This weekend where he tweeted something to the effect of, you don't know how hard it is to watch people that aren't as talented as you
Not
play.
Nearly as talented as you on the field, yeah. Saw that.
You don't tweet that.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. No. I wouldn't sign him now if
didn't
I were
care
Bill.
For his comportment.
If I was considering signing him, I'd say, screw you, you're
the thing
out.
Is, he was watching X Factor when he tweeted it, so I don't know if that what that means.
Is that, has that started, Rick?
No, I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. I heard about
which one?
It. It's supposed to be big.
Really
it's big in Europe.
Be more popular if it was the X-rated factor. I'd watch it.
Yeah.
Interesting fact. I was talking to somebody today.
On X-rated?
That said they did a study at Cowboys Stadium of where people were on the internet during the game in the stadium, like on their phones.
Please tell me they're not on porn.
10% of the people were on porn.
In public?
10%.
At the stadium.
During the game?
On porn sites.
Why would you go to porn at a football game?
What are the numbers, just out of curiosity, of people on the internet inside the stadium?
Well, that it's
7.
Is it like 1 out of 10 was the 10% on porn?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
I'm sure it was in the thousands.
Why would you go to the porn, though, in a public place? Don't you go to porn for one reason and one reason only?
I guess
only?
If you're hooked on it, you know, you just got to get your fix.
But when I get my fix.
Right. It
to get your kicks.
Right. I don't go to porn to spend my day watching porn. Right.
But you do go to porn.
Yes. It's a 10 or 15 minute engagement.
Okay.
That long?
That long, really?
You know, I'm pretty talented.
It's got to take the pill and it's got to kick in. And
shut up. No, but seriously, do a lot of people just, like, look at porn for.
Well, when I.
Like, as if, like playing Scrabble or Word, like, just to pass the time?
I assumed most people used porn for a reason. Is that not true?
To me, that's a logical assumption, but I don't think it's true. I think people spend a lot of time doing it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They
for no payoff,
if you will.
Because
I'll be honest with you, when I'm done, I almost feel dirty and can't click it off fast enough.
A lot of times they do.
I literally feel ashamed.
A lot of times they do research for when they're ready to.
I'm all disappointed in myself.
I am too. I can't get away from there
fast
enough.
It's more procedural then, Fred.
I need to take a shower after reading Barstool Sports.
I don't read that site anymore.
Your problem is reading it.
Because I'm not into kitty porn.
I'm not either.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't a regular to begin with, and certainly I'll never go to the site again.
I don't know why anybody would. If you go to a site for hot chicks for any reason, just go to a site where you see everything. Right? Don't go to a pretend site.
I just have strippers send me links.
Right. And links.
And links.
Let's see. Justin in Alaska writes in, Tailspin, he says. Going through all of the Dolphins.
I like it. Tailspin,
post-game media, they spin it like they barely lost in a shootout. And if not for a play here or there, or the lack of polite, they may have won.
Teal, good story.
That's some White House quality spin right there. Granted, Henny lit it up, but it seemed to me that when it counted, RD came through. Question, it's week one, but our secondary looked very 2009-ish. Should we be concerned, or it's week one, plenty of time to improve? What do you think about that? That's his first part.
I'm concerned.
I think that he has a contradictory statement in his email. He's criticizing Dolphins people for feeling like, you know, that one or two plays here or there could have been a difference. And then he says, I looked at it as our defense came through when it had to. It did. The defense did come through when it had to. Had it not, the Dolphins may have won.
Right.
If not for, you know, a fourth down stop at the 1 yard line, the whole game could have been different.
And that's what I was going to say. If I was with the Dolphins PR,
I would be
focusing on the positive. Chad Henne just scored, you know, threw up over 400 yards, and we scored, you know.
If I'm a Dolphins fan, I lost in a shootout.
Right.
And if not for one or two plays, maybe we could have come out ahead.
So I can't really
now,
blame
from a Patriots standpoint, I think the defense did come up with a couple of plays when it had to. Most notably, that goal line stand.
Yep. Out of Cinco, you're in the league this long and you don't know.
I like it. This guy's, who's this? This guy's good. Let's hire him.
Justin says, you're in the
remind me to get that in one of my little captions.
Justin
Fred's
says,
getting mad.
You're in the league this long and you don't know that you can't cover up a tight end on the line.
Bottle.
Seems like Chad is out of sync with the offense and it is not looking good with the way the lesser talented receivers played. Question on Donald Hayes, I mean Chad. One, since all he has to be is number three or number four, does Belichick really care if he needs a couple more weeks to get in sync? No, I don't think he does. And two, do you think that the moment is just too much for him, meaning he's always wanted to play for Bill? Cue Chad soundbite.
Bill!
He doesn't have it.
Bill!
There you go. He's there. He's here. Tom's here and in prime shape. I think he's just freaking out, worried and not relaxing and concentrating like when Andy is backed up. Thoughts? I agree. That's kind of the point I made last week is in Cincinnati, he knew if he dropped the ball, he was going to be gone. They were going to target him again. It wasn't like the only play he would have a chance to do that. So there wasn't the pressure that this could be my only play. I have to make it.
Too much.
I think that might be too much for him right now.
Could be. Especially if he gets the feeling of not only am I not going to get thrown to again, I might not be in the game. I only have certain, 10 reps a game or 12 reps a game. That's a lot of pressure.
Robin in Alaska says, all due respect to the Mr. Cool Beans that is Troy Brown, but Patriots Monday blows worse than a solo B-Lo show. On normal Mondays, I can stomach it, but on Tuesday, it's lame sauce.
We've got a lot of
I call for a lockout.
That,
lock EEI out of Gillette on Tuesdays.
Hot dogs and sausages.
I want PFW and playbook.
Why was it so bad?
I don't know.
No, they were just mad that we weren't on.
Oh.
People kept tweeting me. Why are you guys
so
not on?
We're on for about 2 hours before every game.
Samantha writes in. She's a first-time emailer.
Well, hello,
Samantha. She
says
she can't listen live, so I don't know if you guys have talked about it, but what about those tight ends?
Figure, Samantha. You're not helping the female
football
fan. They
seem to be picking up where they left off last season, and oh, what did you think of Brady's UGG commercial?
I thought it was a great commercial.
I didn't mind it.
I thought it was very good. I thought they used their celebrity spokesman well and showed off as many of their shoes as they could.
I think that's
a good combination of him and the shoes.
Yeah, I thought it was entertaining.
Well, I think it's good because if you're not familiar with it, you do know that there's other Uggs out there that you could actually wear if you're
right,
a guy.
Not just the the boot thing.
It reminded me of one of those Darren Aronofsky movies. We need our old friend.
Paul looks like a deer in headlights.
Our old friend Jody Hartman, who loved that director. He did like Requiem for a Dream and The Wrestler. It was very like you put the camera right in front of the person and follow them around so it looks like it's like stationary with everything in the background moving. It's kind of.
Can you say his name again?
Darren Aronofsky.
I honest Darren to God. Have you?
Darren Aronofsky.
I've never heard that name in my life.
Darren Aronofsky.
Oh, I have.
Darren but you're Aronofsky. Into that.
Well,
he's into porn too.
No, I'm not. I'm actually. I don't like porn.
Really?
No. I think
what? You prefer men's junk.
I just don't think it's. I just don't think it's. I don't think it's. To me, it doesn't turn me on to see all that stuff slapping up against each other. I don't need that. I don't need to be that visual.
So you want your porn like artistic and sensitive?
Well, no, I don't want.
Cox is pretty big around.
I don't mind.
You don't like naked men. You prefer naked men.
I like the soft stuff. I like stuff that leaves things to the imagination. I don't.
Our show should
make
Cox
bigger. Like I said, that's too. I don't graphic. I don't need. I don't need the close up of the guy's balls.
This thing is a whopping.
I don't actually care for that either.
Here's your
problem. But that's what you get.
But ironically, he goes on the internet searching for close ups of guys' balls.
Your problem is somehow you look at the wrong thing.
Right.
That's your problem.
You can't help it when it's right there.
You go on and you're taken aback by Brandon Spikes rather than the girl he's with. And you watch porn and somehow you see guys' balls instead of boobs.
It's not somehow.
I don't know how that happens.
There they are and
you're fixated on
glory.
Male wrinkly glory. All right, we should probably move on.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Show is drawn to a close.
Brent in Illinois says, "Hey guys, what an offensive!
Oh my God,
what an offensive explosion on Monday night! Offense doesn't miss a beat and really kept the pressure on that decent Miami defense. My comment is why all the negativity by the fans? Well, I think that Big Head's influence might have something to do with it.
Me
stating on the pregame social that Miami should not even be in the league
gave
people the opinion that Miami stinks." Well, they are not that bad of a football team. I think that the comments made folks think that things are a little worse than they are. I think the defense actually played well. The middle of the line got pressure, if not sacks, but pressure is what is needed. I think Bedard's analysis was spot on.
What was it?
Greg Bedard from the Globe.
That. He didn't think the defense played well, so I'm not sure unless he wrote something different than I saw.
You know what just flashed back to me? The low angle of the touchdown, the 99-yard touchdown. Remember when I said, look at the utter disgust on Sperano's face staring at Benny Sapp on the ground behind in the background. Makes a little more sense now that he's been released from the team.
Yeah. Tim in Baltimore, I'm not surprised that the Dolphins played the Patriots tough because I think every team they go up against will play tough. You may disagree, but I think that the Pats are going to have a bigger bullseye on their back than the Packers just because the Pats were the best regular season team last year. A win against the Pats this year would be a watershed moment for any team in the NFL. Every team has the Pats circled on their calendar this year, so they're going to get everybody's best game. It sucks, but that's just the way it is.
Clearly, I'm just overrating the talent. Because I'm comparing talent. I'm not comparing bullseyes. And if you're not talented enough to take the best from a team like Miami, then you're not as good as I think you are.
But don't you think that...
Oh, so the other team tried, so there's a good reason we were in a dogfight.
Don't you think that the rest of the league looks at the Patriots as sort of the standard?
Not any different than they do Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Philly, Indy when they had Manning.
Well, no, but...
These are the best teams in the league every year, and they're always a measuring
stick.
I expect the opponent to try.
And the Patriots are one of them.
The Patriots certainly are not any more so than all those other teams.
But you don't play those teams every year.
You guys really can make an excuse for anything.
They tried.
Of course we're in a dark.
I'm not making any excuses.
I think it's amazing that the rest of the league respects the Patriots more than you two.
I think they're good. I expected the Patriots to blow them out of the water. How could I show any
more respect? That wasn't respect for the Patriots. That was disrespect for Miami.
Whatever you want to call it. I thought there was a big difference between the Patriots and the Dolphins. How is that disrespect, Paul?
I think you're absolutely right.
Maybe I respect them too much.
I disagree.
Birds of a feather flock together.
This is what happens. You should probably listen a little bit to the pregame social. Andy and I disagreed to the whole
show. I'm busy working.
Yeah.
Doing what? Looking for male junk on the internet. Scrolling the internet for junk.
You tell me that someone came out onto the field.
You are the nut wizard.
Andy thought exactly what he just said. The gap in talent was enormous. I thought it was a little bit closer.
Now he's making fun of me. Before, Paul's like, "Oh, give us more of that stuff. That's good.
No, give us relevant stuff."
Yeah.
don't tell me that one of the things you thought was interesting when the inactives come out was that Ryan Mallett was one of them that you guys talked about.
I didn't say that.
Who cares?
Oh, he's making fun. See, now he's making fun. Why do you have to drag Eric into here?
No, he said that you said it. You said you guys talked about it.
He said, she said, you said it.
Am I wrong? Oh, didn't Eric say that Fred and I talked about it?
We did talk about it.
See? So don't throw him under the bus.
But I just talked about it. I don't have to. You just did. Hey, John.
Oh, hey, Fred.
How you doing?
Really good. Wow. Ugly.
Jeez. I don't want to get in the middle of your family squabble.
This is.
You're part of it, John.
It is a family squabble. That's exactly what it is. But you say we were birds of a feather. We were on opposite sides of this issue.
You both hate the Patriots. Let's face it.
I thought that Miami would give them a good game, and Andy laughed at me.
I hate them so much, I predicted they'd blow Miami
out of the
water.
We were so opposite on this, and you're like, birds of a feather. I mean, this was the whole show.
So, John, how are you doing?
Excellent. I want to listen to this. This is good. This is riveting radio.
It is.
Sucky.
Especially because I ended up being right.
I think that the consensus of Patriots Nation today is we are thrilled that Brady did what he did.
Sure.
And we're a little bit worried about
disconcerted that he had to.
That except for a 99-yard pass to Wes Welker, the numbers were about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of share that sentiment, although it is the first game, so I'm willing to allow for a certain amount of, let's just say...
Patience.
Je
ne sais quoi?
Yeah, sort of. Je ne sais quoi? Sure.
What the hell are you talking about?
He's going French on us.
I want to start your nitpick Wednesday off.
My nitpick
is with three people.
Okay, go.
The three people I believe to be superstars or budding superstars on the defense
are
the captains.
Okay.
Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo, and Devin McCourty, to me, didn't show up enough. McCourty especially, I thought, got picked on.
I agree.
No plays from my Defensive Player of the Year candidate, Gerard Mayo.
I agree.
And Wilfork, I thought, was just okay against what I thought should have been overmatched rookie center.
Actually, I can't believe it. I'm agreeing 3-for-3 with Andy.
You won't admit that the other team might have been a little bit better than he thought. See, this is where you're right about him.
Right.
No, what I'll admit
is the guys who I think are budding star
all pros maybe aren't quite as good as I give them credit for.
See?
He
thought the talent was up here for our team. Now he thinks it's down here.
Yes.
Not the team over there was down here.
I don't think how are we making these generalizations, though, after 1 week?
Well, McCourty got picked on in Detroit, too. It's two
I realize McCourty got picked on, and that was going to be one of my nitpicks
because I'm trying to toss kerosene on the fire.
Oh, okay.
Let me do it.
Okay.
It's concerning. I thought McCourty was going to take the next step into fear factor, where quarterbacks try to not throw toward you. Instead, it seems like everybody's going beep, 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 and throw right at him.
Let's wait and see what happens. It's
1 week. Tested more than the rookie did.
It's 1 week.
All right, John, you got your
one
show coming
week
up. We have
where
to
they
go
put
finish
up 600 yards in
now,
one.
Now, if Philip Rivers does the same this week, I would agree with you. We can jump all over it.
He's going to.
It could happen.
Well, we have to get we have to finish shooting our PFW TV show. So
right,
John,
here, so get out.
Just you can take over the Patriots playbook from 2 to 4. And, of course, Pete Shepard is here in 4 to 6, a full day of Patriots.com radio.
Madrid to Calabasas. Tijuana, Mexico, through the devils in Tokyo. Say they know me though, cause I'll be putting in work. Commit my life to rebirth. Well respected, cause that's my word. And I'm sure you heard.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.